If Lands Could Kill, featuring Night City, Wright, Sewing Pro, and Hot Sauce.
All right, well, welcome to another exciting episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm your hostess, Knife City.
With the mostest. Hostess
with the mostest, huh?
Yeah.
You Beetlejuice?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Beetlejuice. I don't know.
That
was the most extended beginning of the show.
Anyways, this is Reich.
So and Crow.
And Hot to the Sauce.
You always have to have, like, the worst opening lines.
Started off so strong.
Well, you know.
And then he gets better.
He went with the hostess with the most. Is that is kind of his fault, I guess.
Well, I mean.
He's a dapper woman.
All right.
You would look cute in the dress.
Well, you know what?
I can picture it.
There's been many times I've been in women's clothing, and it's not pretty.
Show me your underwear right now.
I look like I would, like, kill you and keep your body parts in my basement. Because I have, like, a thick beard and then this, like, curly blonde wig on. Is 1 year for Halloween, I had my friend's girlfriend, like, put makeup on, do the nails, like, the whole 10 yards. And, yeah, I was, like, scared to look at myself in the mirror. I was like, you were going to kill somebody by the end of the night.
Yeah, this is going to be me as a depressed 40-year-old.
Is this what my midlife crisis looks like?
Exactly.
God damn it.
When I was 18, my mother, how awesome she is, she rented myself a party house on the beach for 3 days. It's like a two-bedroom little cottage on Mission Bay, San Diego. Mission Beach, whatever. And so it was, like, awesome because I get to invite everybody down there. And it's like, show up whenever, you know, spend the night, whatever. Like, no, door's always open. Who cares?
It was like a constant, just three-day-long party.
Yeah, exactly. It was freaking amazing. The reason I bring it up is because that was Halloween weekend because my birthday is around Halloween, day before. So I dressed up. Me and my friend Brian dressed up as Hooters girls.
Yeah.
And so we're walking out on the beach, and
that's
it's like
too much
hair. I was clean shaven all around, down to the old popcorn shrimp. everything was good to go, and so me and Brian are both like we were both skinny at the time, skinny, and we were dressed up like chicks. We had fake boobies on, and like our shirts where you do that like that tuck up thing and tie in the middle, so you turn a shirt and do like a skimpy bra or whatever, and. We had our wigs on and all this other shit, and we had actually the real shorts, like the skin tight little shorts, whatever. And so we're doing the whole thing, and then we get people, the guys, when, you know, in the dark, running up to us,
grabbing
or whatever, trying to talk to us or do whatever, and then they get within like 15 feet, and they're like, "Oh, son of a bitch!" Yeah. So there's one guy dressed up. Well, he was like a Mexican bartender guy. But they in Mexico and Tijuana and shit. When you go out and party there, and you're 18, they got that thing.
Too many cooks.
Too many cooks. Shit! It just trolled me.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to troll people with it, and it trolled me. So, anyways, this guy comes by with like his black T-shirt, comes by with his like little hand towel and a bottle of tequila. And what in Mexico, he would tilt a girl's head back and pour a shot in their mouth for free or whatever. They just get girls.
And then they blow the whistle.
And they blow the whistle in their head and shake their head around all this shit. You know, you may have seen.
And then
they
give the boyfriends free coke, and that's not free. Then the whole
incident
happens.
That's what happens. What are you gonna do? So anyways, this guy runs up to go give us a shot, and then he like grabs our head, and then he's like, "What the fuck?" And I'm already, I'm like, yeah. Like, oh, no, never mind.
Take it back.
Yeah. It was a fun experience because it was all dark. There's no street lights out there for shit, so it was a good time. Anyways, continue on.
You know what I liked about that weekend? My drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning was not unusual. Everyone was drinking as soon as they woke up, so
my
alcoholism was hidden quite well.
I lost the picture of the fridge, but I remember we took a picture because the fridge was completely full, fridge and freezer with alcohol and beer and whatever else, as much where it had to go in, like, on the counter. So we couldn't fill it up, so we had to just, like, take some out and put some more in. It was the biggest beer fridge I've ever seen. It was fantastic. What a great time when you were 18.
Going right back real quick to that whole Buffalo Bill comment we were making a minute ago, I got a quick how not to be a dick for myself.
Okay.
Because I found it hilarious, but the first time I met the guy, Rusty, you guys know Rusty, I think, right? From Ian's group?
Yeah.
Oh, figure dude and this and that, whatever. Well, I wasn't trying to really be an asshole, but I first met him and we're sitting there playing a game of Commander, a few of us, this and that, and I'm like, dude, you know who you remind me of? It finally hit me after looking at him for like 15 minutes. You're fucking Buffalo Bill. Puts the lotion on its skin. I didn't let it go all night, and he didn't like me too much. He started trying to call me a neckbeard hipster after that.
He tried to come up with whatever he could.
It's like, and I'm a big fan of PBR. Yeah. That's my drink, but that was my drink before it became popular with hipsters. That's what I drink all the time. So he's like, oh, you wear a vest, you've got a beard, and you drink Pabst. You're a fucking hipster. Like, whatever you guys say, Buffalo.
He wasn't winning that battle.
No. It was pretty bad.
Nice. Well, what have you fellas been up to this fine week?
Oh, buddy? Shit, it's been good for me! Because last week I talked about picking up a handgun in the near future, and that future is now.
Yeah, the future's nigh.
Yeah, the future is Tuesday, and today is, what, Thursday. So, yeah, 2 days ago I went and... I got a little birdie on the internet that told me that one of the local gun stores here had the exact gun that I wanted, and they only had two left, and he ended up buying one of them there, and he just pretty much posted it to the public on this forum, saying like, hey, I was down at such and such a gun store, and they had two of these CZ-SP01s, and I went ahead and bought one, so they have one left, and that was on Monday night. I read that around like 8:30, and they closed at 9, so I was like, fuck, there's no way I'm gonna get down. You know, someone that's half an hour away and, you know, half an hour and have enough time to fill out all the fucking paperwork and do all this shit. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to tell my wife that the following day, I'm like, I'm going to go down there. And if they have this gun still there, like, it's meant to be, I'm buying it. And so, of course, on Tuesday night, right after work, like 5 o'clock, I fucking run out of my office and get in the car and drive down there. I feel like people like racing me down there. Like, that's what I'm like looking around, like, oh, this fucker's, he's going to where I'm going.
Every call. Yeah.
Like, oh, no, this guy's not in front of me. I know he's trying to get my shit.
And then anyone that like pulls off, whatever, gets off on a different exit, he's like, oh, you chicken shit.
Yeah, you didn't want it anyways.
He saw you, dude. He didn't want that.
So I was,
this guy's buying a gun. He probably already has a gun. I'm not going to fuck with him.
Yeah, so I was freaking out trying to get down there, and like, it took me like 10 minutes to get down there from my office, and I ended up running in the store and
literally running.
Yeah, literally running into a gun store. That's probably not smart to do.
Charlie, run as fast as you can.
So I get another guy
nervous, trying to commit suicide.
Oh, I know, right?
You need a friend.
Bring a friend. Always bring a friend.
Always bring a friend.
Always bring a friend. Never go alone.
Yeah. If Lance could kill, rule number one: always bring a friend.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take this. But I walk in the store, and of course they do have it. But it was funny because I asked the guy, I'm like, oh yeah, like, how many of these do you have left? He's like, oh, we only got two left. So I'm like, they're probably like yanking the guy's chain, like maybe they have more in the back or something like that. But
they just tell everybody, we only got two left.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I only have two left.
Look what happened to you.
Yeah, they got me in there, and they got my money. So I was like, yeah, I will take it. I got to play with it, like that, feel it, just make sure that was the one I wanted, and. It was good.
NFL playing with the dude's gun, right?
Yeah, I fondled it, yeah, caressed exactly. It.
Did you cock it, though?
I did cock it back.
did it go off on your hand premature?
almost. But yeah, I ended up getting a...
shooting blank, so you're good.
Yeah. Luckily, it was unloaded. But I ended up buying it that Tuesday night, so I got a... Lovely California has a 10-day requirement. You got to wait 10 days before you can go pick it up. So I'll have to get it next Friday. So it'll be the 6th I'll be picking it up.
Are you going straight to the gun range as soon as you pick it up?
Boy, you gotta run.
The gun range.
Oh, someone's gonna take my lane.
Mama said don't run with scissors. She didn't say nothing about don't run with guns.
Yeah right. So, fucking, it's got a safety on it. But no, yeah, the gun range is in the gun store.
Oh, perfect.
So
you don't even have to run. You just turn around.
I will take it from the counter and then turn around and walk right into the range.
No, you just shoot from the counter.
Yeah, I'll shoot. Yeah, shoot from behind the counter there. That'll be great.
I can bend the bullet like that fucking horrible movie.
We don't talk about that movie on this cast.
Is that forbidden?
Yeah, it's okay. Forbidden.
Okay. Yeah, it's just funny because this gun is like, I guess, supposedly really hard to find, but I lucked out and like saw it like a month ago and then wanted it and found it and bought it. So
is this the Czech gun you're talking about?
Yeah, it's from made in the Czech Republic. And it's pretty fucking awesome. I have another gun that's like it's a Beretta 92, which is kind of like the same era of those kind of guns. This gun was designed in like 1972 or 75. That's why it's called the CZ-75 or whatever it is. But it's fucking like 1,000 times better than the Beretta.
Beautiful.
So
what makes it better?
I am super stoked. It is just the smooth, like the trigger is way smoother. The double action on it is like fucking butter. And it breaks like when you're pulling the trigger, like in guns, you have to pull the trigger to do a double action where it draws the hammer back in one motion and actually releases hammer in that one trigger pull. And like the Beretta, it's like fucking 20 pounds of like weight you have to pull through to actually get to that point where it fires. This one's like maybe like, I don't know, like 8 pounds.
Oh, shit.
So it's way lighter. And then
so know what you're doing while you're handling it then, right?
Well, it's still like deliberately. You got to like to pull 8 pounds, it's still you're definitely not going to like, oops, I accidentally pulled and shot somebody.
I don't know. A lot of NFL guys happen all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're...
Plesko Burr's dumbass shot himself.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, though? The big difference is that he has a registered weapon.
Yeah, and there you go. Yeah,
exactly. No, it still has the serial numbers on. It's not filed off. So. Not yet. But, yeah, it's fucking awesome. Anyways, that's been me. That's like my highlight of like last week or this week.
Any games?
No, I haven't played any games, unfortunately.
You played the game of guns.
The game of guns. Like the game of fucking obsessing and then finally getting it. And now, like, now it's weird because, like, I have it. Like, I know I have it. Even though I don't have it in my possession, I'll have it in, like, you know, 8 days from now. But it's just like, oh, like, I'm not obsessed anymore. Like, the obsession's gone. I'm, like, not, like,
mission accomplished.
Like, looking every, like, 10 seconds at the classified forums. Like, oh, is someone selling one? Is someone selling one? I was like, oh, I have it. Okay, I'm good now.
Nice. So what's up, Crow?
For me, I've opened 2 boxes of Fairy Forge now in the less than a week it's been out. Including one just right before the cast here that we made a video of, so you'll be able to check that out soon on YouTube and on
the website. Yeah, I got to figure out a date, but to put it up because we want to do these videos on a date, a certain date of the week. So we'll see. We'll put it up though, and it's a pretty damn good booster box.
No, it's pretty bad. Pretty good. I enjoyed it. I was not upset about it whatsoever.
One little hint is that the value of the cards is worth more than the box, so that's a win.
Sweet. So you know, open up those and within the cult boxes, you open some Ugins and some Mentors and Grand Funk Masters and different good value stuff and good fun things to play with and several of the cards I need to make that Purphoros deck we talked about building on here. So I'm pretty close to being able to build that. So that's exciting. And then other than that, I personally kind of, I'm not a huge fan of the UFC by any means. I kind of go in waves where randomly I get a hair at my ass, but I like, oh, I want to watch this right now because there's randomly I come across some fighter that I enjoy, so I'll like check out his fights or something like that. And there's this Irish fucker, Conor McGregor, who's just a badass. So I've been watching his fights, and it's been pretty exciting. And then all of a sudden, just happened to coincide with just randomly getting into it again a little bit and watching those with a sale on Xbox One for the UFC game for only $10. I was like,
is that the new one?
The one, yeah, it's been out for a little bit, newest, you know, newest EA
like
Sports,
July UFC, or something like
whatever.
I think all sports games come out in like summer.
Yeah.
And so I was like, no, fuck it, $10, excuse me, I'll go ahead and buy it. And I played it, and I have not been disappointed. It's been pretty exciting. Starts off a little more difficult, and then as you progress your guy, you create and have a career and whatnot, and I'm currently fucking like 10-0 with them, so fuck yeah. Getting all the main cards.
Nice.
It's kind of ridiculous and stupid. They have, like, after like any fight, if you get a win or if you have a couple wins, you're on a winning streak, they have like random fighters do a little video of like, oh yeah, man, you put in the effort this week and you look badass. Way to keep it strong out there. It's like, fuck you, this is so gay.
You're looking really tight this week, man.
And Dana White comes on there like, oh, I love the effort you're putting in there. You're going to get a main card fight this week. Don't fuck it up, man. Keep working hard. It's like, yeah, I'll keep pressing those buttons. My thumb's pretty good. Yeah, I got you. I'll keep working. Yeah, it's like I'm really putting the fucking full workout effort in. I feel good.
The only instance of something like that actually working is in Forza, the racing game for the racing simulator for like Xbox One and all that stuff, is that they have Jeremy Clarkson and actually James May and Richard Hammond, the guys from Top Gear UK, whatever. Which Top Gear, if you don't know what that is, that's sad because it's the most popular show in the whole fucking world. So suck on that, everybody, including you guys at this
cast. And the US version sucks.
And the US version, we don't talk about the US version on this cast.
There is no US version.
It goes along with that other movie. So
never had.
Yeah. So anyways, they do a lot of commentary in the game, and it's all witty, hilarious shit, dude. It's so enjoyable hearing them go about that. But another thing, on speaking of sales, they still have. Oh my god, it's been out for 6 months now or 9 months now. They have Titanfall on the Xbox One on sale for $10.
Like, not usually the regular version, like the Ultimate Edition $15.
The Ultimate Edition is $12.50, okay. And that includes all the DLC content. $12.50. I'm like, come on, this game is better than that. Wow. But at the same time,
but when Destiny's out, and then all the new Call of Duties, which is the same shit. But just not competing. I thought the game was fun, but it had that same 3 month rule because there wasn't an in depthness to it. It just fell off.
I thought
the game was well built and fun to play.
Solid.
I was never gonna buy it, but $12.50, like fuck it, I'll buy it for $12.50.
It's worth $12.50. You'll get a couple months out of it.
You can get 15-20 hours out of it, no problem.
Yeah, I don't regret owning it at all. Like, I wish I played it more, but it's like Titanfall or continue to build my Destiny character.
I sold my Xbox 360 copy of it, the standard edition, for $25 at GameStop. At fucking GameStop. And now it's $12.50 on the next gen console for the Ultimate Edition.
You got out at the right time. Yeah,
Jesus, dude, it's so
I've
silly.
Never got $25 from anything at GameStop.
Yeah, okay. You know what they give you though for they give you that kind of money for is 3DS games. Because 3DS games never go down in value.
They don't. They're always good ones. Anything worth buying never
All the Marios, all the Yoshis, all the whatever, Pokemon. They'll give you $17 at least for like all of those because they're going to sell it for $35 and they will sell it and they'll never drop the price on it. So that's another score also.
That's true.
That's our Nintendo top tip out there. So, anyways, it's just funny seeing that great game just like go down the shitter.
So, I spent the $10 on that game and it's so far I've probably played it for a good 6+ hours, and for me, I've already got the money out of it, and I'm going to continue to play it some because it's fun enough. I mean,
you get all fucking bloodied up and shit.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's pretty exciting when you can get the good vibration in your hands when you knock somebody pretty good, So that's a good feel to it. It's pretty fluid too. It's not choppy. It's pretty good about being pretty fluid with it all. So. That's what I've been up to, and then I lost my job. So.
Oh yeah, then you lost your job.
Things are real good in electrical world. Things, I know. Things Look just go, and I'm a larger guy, so working for a solar company, this last one I was with, it's like, oh yeah, we had a huge end of the year push if people want to get their tax rebate before the end of the year, to have it actually installed before then, and so that was part of it. But then they're like, okay, well now work has slowed, and I'm 6'3". Not super fat or nothing, but I weigh probably 300 pounds. I mean, I'm a big dude. A lot of muscle from sports and shit with and whatnot. And to go on a Spanish tile roof that has like chintzy, horribly built Spanish tiles, I break a lot of tiles. So not really built for the solar world.
Right.
It doesn't really work out.
You gotta be like 160 for that.
And then there's a lot of attic work. And it's like I'm a larger guy, but I have very broad shoulders to try to crawl through fucking attic spaces and shit. It was funny. One of the foreman fucking was pulling wire and he like got caught on something. He stepped back and put his fucking foot through the ceiling at this like multi-million-dollar La Jolla home. It was hilarious.
Fantastic.
Like, that's what you get, you little jerk.
There was our fucking profit margin. Sweet.
So I'm not working there anymore. Whatever. I don't really give a shit.
You're in the books, though, and the books are
for apprentices. There's a couple apprentices on the books right now. No big deal. I'm not too concerned. I'm just like, you know what? I'll go ahead and get the unemployment going right now and get some more magic going. So.
There you go.
It'll
good time
work.
To buy
It'll
a box.
Work out.
No job.
Yep. Credit cards are for bad decisions.
No shit.
And that's what I did.
Yeah. So
nice.
My week, nothing really happening. I mean, like I've been trying to purchase a home to live in, and so that process is a total dick hair. I mean, if anyone out there has bought a home, which I'm sure there is, it's a fucking pain in the ass, and banks do not. They just don't give a shit. Every little thing matters. It's just crazy. One of the girls was telling me today, like, there's a form, right? And the first page of it's a four-page form, 1 through 4, right? And so the bottom of it says 1 of 4, 2 of 4, 3 of 4. So the reason I bring that up is because if you bring the first form in, which is the form that all that matters, the other three forms don't matter, but you have to bring in all three forms. So like, or all four forms. So if they see one of four, they're like, well, wait a minute. This thing has a one of four. Where's the other three? And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't, there's nothing that pertains to this. It's like, no, no, no. We have to have all those forms. And it's like, well, okay. Like, it doesn't matter. But every little thing matters. I try to get a certain loan, and because of, I'm going to be gifted money from my family that they will not allow me to do the loan anymore because they do not accept a gift in the loan. I'm like, yeah, but money is money, right? Like, if I give you money for down payment, then that's money for the down payment. They're like, no, you have to have the money on your own. You have to show that you incrementally built it up over the last year or two. And you have to prove it with all this other stuff and make sure any money is like totally accounted for and W-2s from back before you were born and all this other shit. And I'm like, oh my God, can I just show you my W-2 and my paychecks and like whatever else and like my credit score? Is that not good enough? That's not even half of it. Like,
that's not even the surface.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, God damn it. So I'm doing all that shit.
I want your firstborn while you're at it.
It's all that. It's so much shit. So we have that going on, me and the girl. And then me and the roommate, Mr. Raheem, we beat Reach this week, Halo Reach, so that was awesome. Enjoyable game. And the graphics totally hold up. That's one of those things, like Xbox 360 to like Xbox One or PS3 to PS4. It's just not that crazy yet, you know?
Not a huge leap.
Not that big of a leap.
No, I'm sure that like it's more stable and like you're not tapping all the power of the processor and the memory and all that stuff, but so far, like playing Halo Reach, which came out in, like, I don't even know, 2009 or something like that, totally fine, totally acceptable. So we were doing that, and then I played a bit of Transistor.
I saw that. I saw you're playing it on Steam.
So it is. If you ever played the first one made by these guys, what was that first game? Bastion.
Mm-hmm.
Bastion is like beautiful. It has the best music in gaming, basically. Because it's all like original songs. It's not like background boom ba da dum ba da dum shit. It's like fucking songs with singing and everything.
Yeah, and guitar.
And guitar and like all the whole thing, you know, and it just fits like the battle vibe of the game. And this game is even more, but it's even better to look at. And it has this really cool style. It's kind of like VATS in Fallout 3. VATS is like where when you hit a button when you go into combat and you're able to target what part you want of the person, and then you just like hit the go button and it does the work for you. So it's like it has a strategy game built into the combat system. This has the same thing where every like 4 seconds or 5 seconds the system recharges, you click the button, and you're able to plan out your attacks. So there's like five enemies all around you. You have four, like kind of like Diablo style, you have four attacks you can do, and you can change those attacks at all you want. And then you can put like, same thing like the little like gem emblem type things to like boost up each attack in whatever direction you want it to go. And then you can just go ahead and sequence those attacks. If you like do one and then two and then one again, it triggers a combo, so each one gets a little bonus in damage and all this stuff. Nice. And you can also move during that combat sequence and it'll like take up your meter. If it's full meter, one weapon or whatever will use up 20%, walking will use up 10%, another weapon will use up 50% because it's real powerful, and then you click fucking go or whatever. And then it'll through this. The enemies are like super slow-mo, it'll run through the sequence, you'll fuck them up, and then it'll go back where you have to just like sprint and run around and all that shit like that. No, Transistor.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways, it's just really good-looking game. It's fucking cheap because it's just downloadable, whatever. It's normally priced at $20, but it's always on sale for $7.50 or whatever. So I picked it up for that price, and it's fantastic. And then the music itself, you're able to like unlock it as you go, as you beat like the skill like simulators or whatever. So like once you beat a couple like levels or whatever, then you can go walk through this door. You go to this really like serene area where you go to relax. It's like a hammock and a little dog you can play with on a beach ball. You can bump around. It's weird. It has this like, you know, ambient music and this sun in the background you can like stare at and all this fucking weird shit. And then you can go through these different doors and it goes to training simulators. Every time you beat one, it unlocks one of the songs you've heard to just listen to whenever you want.
Oh, that's kinda cool.
And so it's cool that you can unlock you like a 20-song soundtrack as you go.
It.
And then you can go like sit in the hammock and like play a song, and then you just like sit there with the control in your hand, just like listening to this badass song.
Yeah, I remember Bastion. I like Googled some of those songs.
Yeah,
because they're just that good. Like I wanted to hear it again and again.
Exactly. They have the soundtracks for sale. I think it's like $6 for the soundtrack or something. Yeah. So it's totally worth it.
If you like that kind of you're making movements and then you slow it down, make a strategy type of deal, you really need to check out the Bureau from XCOM, XCOM to Classified, the Bureau. And, you know, there's a game called XCOM Enemy Unknown where it's a, you know, downworld view of a, you know, kind of like a Fire Emblem where you move a character at a time, you shoot. And, you know, it's a specific, like, chess-style game.
You're talking about XCOM Enemy Unknown?
That's what I'm saying.
I heard that game was about rape.
Yeah, that game was definitely about rape. Wait, I don't think he was there for that. I don't know if he was there for that.
It's not there for that.
Check out a previous episode for that one. XCOM was definitely about rape. And then, and so was McDonald's.
Anyways, this is the first-person version of XCOM Enemy Unknown. That's the Bureau XCOM to Classified. And it's I found it very enjoyable. I didn't get all kind of high ratings.
It got shitty reviews.
But if you enjoy that style of chess-style Fire Emblem strategic maneuvering
play...
Which I
did, absolutely.
This is that, but first person. So it gives it a whole different viewpoint and style of play. So while you're still running around first person style, you go into battles and you have like your underlings that you control and say, hey, flank this side, set up a turret, and then shoot at this guy. So
that game is super cheap right now, too.
Yeah, it's. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It may not be like the best graphics and shit like that, but as far as gameplay itself, it is very enjoyable. And considering it's how cheap it is, it's definitely worth the $5 or whatever it is to buy it.
Once I get some time, it'll be worth looking into. I still haven't beat Enemy Within, the expansion for Enemy Unknown. So I haven't beat that yet.
If you want to play on 360, you can just borrow my copy.
Yeah, I'll just buy your copy. Screw it.
It's worth a play.
One last thing about Transistor. Did they have any kind of narrator, like Bastion?
Fuck yeah, they had a narrator. The narrator, okay, I didn't even mention this. So you're this chick, and you're named Red, and you're like the singer that got her voice stolen from her, so she's like mute right now. She can like hum, but that's it. So anyways, you carry around this like Final Fantasy VII sword around with you. The sword's so big you have to drag it on the ground. Well, the sword is like a computer program, and it talks. That's what the narrator is.
Okay.
And every time it talks, like the sword like glows in that like, you know, robot function, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So it has that, and that's the narrator of the whole thing. And so, yeah, it's the same thing as Bastion, where it's like super casual, you know, and it's just kind of like a lot of the conversation is like meaningless to the story or to the moment you're in right now. It's just kind of like environment like awareness, and he's just kind of like talking about, oh man, look at that sky, you know, or whatever, all this other bullshit.
Look at that sweet ass.
Sweet ass.
Drag me a little further behind.
I'm not feeling so well, Red. You know, it's all this shit. Like that. Yeah, it's totally enjoyable. Just makes
I'm
going to
play that shit.
The game just makes you feel good, just like Bastion. Bastion just makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah,
so it's all really, really fun. Oh, last thing. I watched that Live, Die, Repeat movie. What the hell's the original title of it?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise one. What the hell's it called?
I heard actually it was good though.
Dude, it's fucking good.
Getting the name.
You know what? I can't remember what they changed the title. The movie did so bad in the box office that they changed the title of the movie, and when it came out on DVD.
Really?
Did they change the title?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
So now it's called.
But I actually heard it was a really good movie.
It's the spacey one, right?
Dude, it's totally. It's like Starship
like
Troopers
Emma Fox or something like that.
I don't know. Starship Troopers meets, say, Cabin in the Woods, or like
that fucking movie.
I know, I love that movie. Or like just Starship Troopers is fun.
Yeah,
right?
I was gonna say,
like,
dude, that's
it's
a
like it's
great
serious
movie.
Yeah, it's like serious. The story is like it's a serious thing. Like, you know, humanity's at stake. This is the same thing. Humanity's at stake. But the way they do it is just like a little bit goofy, and they make it fun, and they just make the whole movie just fantastic. So yeah, I totally recommend it, man. If you haven't seen that movie,
that was some great propaganda in Starship Troopers. That was a great movie.
It's a great, movie. So it's like it's got this extra little, it's got a little campy feel, and it's just fun, man. It's really fun. But it also has like this big science background, and so like has this complex time manipulation type thing behind it. So if you're not really into that kind of stuff, maybe it's not your movie, but if you are,
I wonder if it did so bad because people just like are all about hating Tom Cruise still.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's cool to hate.
I think he's a good actor, dude.
Look, a lot of his movies are actually pretty damn good. I mean, yeah, he's a fucking nut job.
He's a little crazy, but he's a good actor.
If you go back to a lot of his stuff, he's made a lot of good movies overall. Sure, he's made shit, but what actor hasn't? But
dude, Richard Gere had a gerbil ass. People still like him.
right?
Like, come on. It's
allegedly.
Allegedly. Oh, yeah, sorry. Allegedly. Sorry, Richard. Sorry if you're listening.
I sold him the gerbil. It's not allegedly.
All right, anyways, and then we'll finish it off with Knife.
What have I been up to? Well, went out to Universal Studios for the day with the girlfriend for our 4-year anniversary.
That was your first time there, right?
That was first time there.
Oh, Universal Studios.
And it was pretty cool. Like, it's kind of what I thought it would be or what it was explained to me, where it's not like Disneyland where you can go like a couple times a year. It's like there's only, you know, a handful of attractions, and it's mostly the, you know, I don't know what the name for it is, but it's like, you know, there's a screen in front of you.
Like the
it's
motion, kinda, motion, whatever's.
Yeah, the motion, motion of the ocean.
That's, yeah.
No, where like it's like a, you know, 9-person seating thing, and then the seats move according to, you know, what's going on the screen, so it makes you feel like you're in a real roller coaster, and there's wind coming at you and stuff like that.
It saves a lot of money on a real roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of money.
It's clever thinking.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. They had this whole like Simpsons Town theme going on, and went on the Simpsons ride, and it was cool. Like I forget, like somehow Maggie gets to be like super huge, and then so you're like in this bus or whatever. So she grabs the bus and starts sucking on it, you know. And
you're getting Bravo. Hot sauce.
I practiced.
All worked up from all his child porn. You're getting too excited right now. Be careful.
So, but when you went inside Maggie's mouth, it smelled like baby powder, like they shot, or baby wipes. So
in her mouth?
No, no, like the
in her smell. Ass?
God, you can't damn it. Casually say when you went inside Maggie's mouth.
When all 9 of you came inside Maggie's mouth.
Well, that's not appropriate.
So, like, they shot like the smell of like baby powder, baby wipes into the air when you went in there. So it was like it made it really like real, you know?
Sensation. Very, very, very. Yeah,
the
very
sensation real. Of a real baby.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not gonna say this. I'm not gonna, there's too many holes in the boat. I'm just gonna let it sink, go down with the ship.
I don't know what was the next part of it.
Yeah, what happened? Hot sauce is interesting. You can't leave me hanging like that. You gotta finish them off. Yeah.
And they had like the Quickie Mart and everything. Got my brother a shirt for his birthday. One of his favorite quotes is "You don't win friends with salad." And it has a picture of Homer with the barbecue tongs or whatever. It's a quote from like the 7th season or something like that. But I got some Duff energy drinks, which was awesome. Had to get two, one to drink right there, and then one to save. Yeah. And
how was it?
It was actually pretty good. It wasn't horrible like I thought it was going to be.
Was it a Red Bull? Was it a Monster? Was it its own thing?
It was kind of its own thing. Like, imagine like a U.S. energy drink that wasn't shitty. You know, one of those? But right. Still kind of shitty. So anyways, there were some other cool attractions. There's dogs barking. It sounded really real.
Yeah. You know? God damn it.
Dude, one of my favorite episodes of Simpsons of all time is... they're at the baseball park for the frickin' what the hell they are, and Homer is on a fast.
Yes, that's what. And he's hungry, like, hungry Homer.
Yeah,
that's
he's
the
like
name of the episode.
He's like fasting for all of like 20 minutes, and he's like chained to a light post. He's like reaching for a hot dog stand, and just freaking out. And they're like, "What's the commotion down there?" And Duffman's standing there, and he goes, "I am thrusting in the direction of the problem." Like that little scene right there, I think is so fucking hilarious as he's thrusting his crotch at Homer. Oh,
So yeah, there was Transformers, which was pretty cool, and then we did the whole the tour of the little Universal City of the stages.
Did Jaws come out at you?
And Jaws came out at us, and we learned a little bit of history of what scenes were shot where and all that stuff. And so it was a pretty cool day. I mean, we got there at like 11, and we left at 6, so... It's a good day of walking around. We got to hit up almost every single attraction there was, and took some cool pictures. And then the next day, it was a two-parter. We alternate what years who pays for our anniversary. So this year it was her year to pay for it and plan it all out. And so it was kind of a mystery. I didn't know where we were gonna go. So. Woke up the next day, went to IHOP for breakfast, which, I mean, I'm not that big of a fan of IHOP. It's kind of white trashy, but, like, for some reason, I was like, man, you know what sounds good? Some white trash breakfast right now.
So, like, how can you get more poor man's than Denny's? I mean, I like Denny's, but, yeah. I mean, to go to IHOP, I mean, I agree. It's yeah. it's okay, whatever.
I
it's not horrible,
to see,
but it's like
hungover people right. throw up on the ground yeah, probably. Right. You know?
I feel like they think they're classier than that though, which
oh,
is
yeah.
awkward
because oh, yeah.
they're not.
Yeah, they're totally not. It's like, you know, those poor people who get like the really old like Mercedes and they think they're like, you know, hot shit. Yeah.
I totally agree with that. It's not classier. People think it's classier.
Yeah.
I love that. We're like, Target is classier than Walmart. There's no getting around
oh, yeah.
that. But
yeah.
they think they're Target. They're not Target.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even
so that's it. IHOP. We're trying to be Target.
That's probably the best analogy I've heard all year long. So we went to the Miramar Speed Circuit after that, which is think about like go-karts, but on fucking crack. You know, it's not like you're you know,
not your family fun center.
It's not your family fun center, your little miniature
golf.
Let's
call it Bullwinkles and give it some
listening. Oh, Bullwinkles. No shit, huh?
Yeah,
shit
know,
was
right?
That was fun.
But these are like some serious hauling ass go-karts. And
they do 40 miles an hour in the straight.
Yeah. So she's never been on them. I've been on them a couple times. We used to go all the time back in the day. And so after a nice full breakfast of IHOP,
great plan.
So she paid for two races. We go on the first race, and even I'd forgot how fast they went, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, Jesus Christ, I don't even have a seatbelt on. Like, they don't have seatbelts, you know? They put helmets on or whatever. But I'm like, you know, tall and ass. But there's like the other people in our race, they're like kids. And you could tell, like, they'd been there before because they were just, like, knowing all the curves and when to pass and all this fucking shit, stop and go and brake and
so you're
whatever.
Saying you got your ass beat by 10-year-olds.
Yeah. So, and the shitty thing was, like, I felt my cell phone, like, press up against the side of the go-kart pretty strong during some curves. And after the race, I fucking go to take a look at it. It's fucking cracked.
Oh! That's it? That's the G's, dude.
Yeah, them G's, though.
You just got G'd, bro.
But, so after the race, as soon as my girlfriend took, like, her helmet off, I could see, like, she was nauseous.
Her face was like, well, eyes were crossed.
Yeah. And so I was like,
maybe you get your sex tapes on. Put that away. There's kids around. Yeah. Appropriate for this.
Man, that go kart motor really gave it to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, I'm jealous.
She had a crisis.
But I was like, "You okay?" She's like, "No, I'm fine." I'm like, "You're not okay. I know you're not okay. Let's go outside and get some fresh air." So we went outside. And I was like, you know what? Let's just skip the last race because you look like you're going to puke. So skip the last race. Got our money back, obviously. Then we went to
Well, I have one thing to say about Miramar.
Go for it.
Short story.
Go for it.
Were you there when I raced the little girl?
I did. You know what? Those years were kind of a blur, but go ahead.
Yeah. So we used to race a lot. And back when I was lighter, I was like 175, I would try and like my hardest to win. So I would win most races. The only race that I would lose, the only person I would lose to was a Quickness, the guy in the podcast in the early episodes. So he weighed like 140 pounds or something like that, or whatever he fucking weighs. So that's what matters a lot, is like weight matters a lot. Even though you have skill or whatever, weight matters a lot in that size cart. So it'd be neck and neck between us a lot of times, but I think that I had more victories than him overall. We used to go and be like super competitive. So anyways, we go out with a group of friends. There's like 8 of us. We do the first race. It's like a Grand Prix race, whatever, right? So you do this. First place gets another round for free. So I won the race, so I get to go again. Well, it was end of the night, and there's one opponent, right? And it was a girl. She was like 11. Straight up like smallest girl ever, 11 years old. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then she's with her mom. She pulls out a helmet that is custom airbrushed dragon on it, like this pink and red, like $1,000 paint job dragon on this helmet made for go-karts. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, absolutely. Like, what does that mean?
Already intimidated more than
yeah.
I get the stock fucking triple extra large padded helmet.
It says loner on the side.
The loser loner, whatever it says. And so we line up, just me and her, and they stage us up, and she... Okay, the track is only like 33 seconds long or 31 seconds long or something like that if you do like a fast lap. and she got like a 29.8, and I got like a 31.2 or something. Like that. I'm like, holy shit! Like a second is like. She's really far ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like 20 feet ahead of me after a lap. I'm like, God damn it, dude. So it was a disaster. I felt like an asshole. And, you know, and then she like spit in my face afterwards. I had the trophy.
You're such a little bitch.
She shot off the champagne in my face.
Yeah, she flicked the quarter. Yeah. Get some practice.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty bad. But she obviously, she knew what the fuck she was doing, and she also had like 100 pounds on me, so it all worked out.
Under you.
Under me. Yeah.
There was like, the kids we were racing, they're like, dad was watching them, so when we got out of the first race, like all the kids went over to the dad, and it was like serious business. Like, it wasn't like, hey, we're having a fun time. It was like, you know, you could have cut a few seconds on turn four right God. There, and the kid's like, yeah, I know.
Dude, best
like,
dad ever.
Yeah.
I want to be that dad. I want to be that dad so bad.
Don't be that dad.
Fuck that. All the other dads can be fun. I'm going to be like that guy. I'm going to improve those kids' lives. All their dads let them go fucking be smoking cigarettes at 12 years old.
I can't wait to coach my son's baseball teams because I'm not going to be that crazy, over-the-top competitive asshole dad who's just like, screaming at kids' faces. But all the PR shit now where they're trying to make it where, like, all the leagues are, oh, everybody's a winner. We don't keep score. It's all bullshit. That's not real fucking life. Real life, you have to compete. You have to fucking push forward. You want to try to do better. So we're going to practice hard. We're going to have fun and play hard. But you can't just be the freaking hippie piece of shit douchebag, but you can't be the crazy asshole like that guy. Like,
yeah, no.
You could have done better on turn four.
You suck, little shit. You can't do that.
So what you're saying is you want to make him cry, but not a lot.
Cry enough to do better.
Whimper. No, whimper.
You bring me along. And when the kids are slacking, like, Jace, just get in there for 15 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll come in there, I'll whip them into shape, and then I'll be like, all right, that was too much, right? Okay, I'll back off, and take over. Bring them back down a little
Anything
bit.
To get with little kids, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Hold on.
Let's make it 20 minutes.
Let's say 15? I mean,
yeah, yeah. Isn't that shed with no windows still there?
Doesn't that go against the court order you have?
I don't know. Tore that thing up long ago.
But, yeah, we went to Dave & Buster's after that. I haven't been to Dave & Buster's in a long time, but they had, like, big arcade games that were cell phone games. I couldn't believe it. Like, Cut the Rope and what's the fruit one? Fruit Ninja.
You know they have Guitar Hero, too.
Yeah, they have Guitar Hero.
That's another one that pisses me off.
Yeah. And the guitars are all fucked up.
And they're not even a full song.
Yeah.
They just limit it. Whatever the price is, like, that buys you 2 minutes and 50 seconds or whatever. Nope. That's it.
So I went and played, like, she was all about, like, the tickets. I was like, I don't give a fuck about the tickets. I want to go play, like, fucking Pac-Man and
hey,
fucking...
you want some Laffy Taffy? I'll go buy you Laffy Taffy. I mean,
it'd be a lot cheaper than putting all this money in the machine to get it.
Exactly. But they had a Mario Kart there, which was pretty cool. So.
Yeah, Mario Kart.
Had some fun there. Then we went to... we just hung out for a while, and then we went to Benihana's for dinner afterwards.
Fuck yeah.
Benihana.
Very nice. We got the same chef we got last time, which is this. There's no...
Was he a Mexican?
They're all Mexican.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been to Benihana's and had an Asian chef.
I was just going to say, there are no Asian chefs.
I went to Monterey. Monterey had an Asian chef. Okay. And you believe it.
Then was he good though? He probably sucks.
Yeah, they had to import him.
He's on loan. Yeah, he's on loan.
He made fucking carne asada. I'm like, what are you doing?
You know what you are.
Yeah. But yeah, of course he was Mexican, but he was like the other guys, like try and pretend almost to be Asian, but this guy is like totally like, I know I'm Mexican.
Yo, I say what you want. He's
just like, Asian guacamole, Asian guacamole for like the like wasabi or whatever, and like all this other stuff. So
that's pretty cool. Hey, did you see that little pile of like yellow white stuff on the corner that they always take off a little slab of it and throw it on there to cook it in?
Yes.
You know what that is?
What is it?
Butter.
It's fucking butter.
Yeah, but why would it not be butter?
It's just funny because they take off like a stick of butter per like item. They're just, they have this pile of like 20 sticks. And they just, like, scoop off a huge bun, throw it on there, and they make, like, six shrimp with it. And you're like, Jesus. It just didn't click with me. I thought it was, like, some kind of shortening. With
lard. Yellow amount of malleable substance. I'm going to go with butter.
I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I don't know. Yeah, it tastes so good.
A lot of
butter.
But
that, like, that much butter. My God.
Yeah.
It tastes so good. They didn't, like, cook it right.
It's put
like,
Paula Deen to shame.
Yeah, dude. They don't even, like, care if it's, like, oh, is it raw? Is it fucking whatever? Overcooked? They don't care. It's, like, it's full of butter. You're fine.
Yeah. Of course, it tastes good. There's butter in it. So that was fun. We had a little weekend fun, and not much else going on. I mean, I played most of the games I played. It was mostly the MTGO beta. I've just been brewing like a madman on there. But so exciting news, just not even an hour ago, maybe. Doesn't matter. I went and picked up my anniversary present. My girlfriend got me a laptop for our anniversary. And so I had to do like some errands today and shit. And I got home and there was a sign on the gate, you know, oh, we tried to deliver it. We'll try again tomorrow. I'm like, well, I'm not going to fucking be here tomorrow, goddammit. So I called, hey, can I go pick it up somewhere? And they're like, yeah, come to the warehouse and come pick it up. So I raced over there and raced back from the cast. So sitting here with a sweet brand new lappy-toppy, except, like, you know, laptops are expensive. I didn't want, like, the top of the line. And also, I just, you know, Windows 8 might be awesome, but I'm not ready to go to it.
It's not awesome, though. It's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's really annoying to deal with, just so I'm happy you didn't get that, because
yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a piece of shit, but I heard there's ways to make it look and act
Windows 7. Of course. It's a new fancy shit, but it's horrible.
But then
the interface is bad.
Exactly.
Then why Windows 8 if you want it to be Windows 7?
Exactly.
Pain in the ass.
So pretty much I got it's like a i5 processor with Windows 7 and 12 gigs of RAM, terabyte hard drive. So, I mean, it's basically all I need it for. It's going to play Moto. It's going to play my little shitty Steam games and porn. Definitely plays porn.
Right, there you
go. I mean, hey now. So,
watch that Brazers in HD. That 4-year-old bitch is looking horrible.
And it's like a 17-inch screen, so, yep. 17-inch porn.
They're still
I don't
really
want to know.
Yeah, they're still small, but it makes my penis look huge in comparison.
Put it all next to the screen.
Yeah, exactly.
I tower over you. I'm going to teabag this chick.
Take it. Take it.
No, it's like Godzilla. Like, I'm tearing down the village with it. Oh, no. That's
you. You don't even get off anymore. You just do that. And then, all right, I'm good.
I'm good.
This is what porn is for, right? Just bashing genitals around the screen.
I just play with it like I'm like a kid's toy or something. Like, not even.
You have
pleasure.
No idea.
This is what you do with it, right?
You don't even get boners yet.
Did you fuckers see the dick pic on Twitter today?
Oh my god, fucking Kevin Metal's dick
pic. Oh, I had it on there?
Yeah.
Like, straight up his dick.
No.
Well, he goes, censored for your entertainment, but you see you can see the fucking head of it.
Yeah, you can see,
and
like,
you can see his cock ring.
You can't see the slit, but you see ridges, and you see the big fucking ring cock ring. Like, that fucker was big. Big cock ring. I was like,
that
cock ring.
What gauge was it? What gauge?
I don't even know, but it was like, Jesus, doesn't that, like, weigh it down? I guess that's how
that's
you get strong. That's why you get stronger,
yeah,
you know?
That's the African tribe.
That's why he can do the wristwatch.
Yeah, I thought that was disturbing.
Yeah, so shout out to him.
Shout out to Kevin Metal's cock ring.
That could be the end of the episode.
Yeah,
you know,
and Kevin Metal's cock ring. Yeah, it's episode 24, cock rings.
That shit was hilarious. I listened to that episode when he made Gumby made a comment about him making a fucking wristwatch with his dick on him, and Maddie CD goes, what? Your cock's big enough to do that? It's like, oh, dude, you can't. You're admitting on air so much you have a tiny cock that it can't go around somebody's wrist. Like,
I'm thinking like a pinky ring.
Like, they're like trying to hold him back. He's like, oh, you're a grower, not a shower, right? And
they're trying to give him an out.
He's like,
like,
tiny dick.
You just like stretch it out. You can't stretch it over your wrist. I mean, if you're like just flaccid, no stretch, boom, over the wrist, hanging down, like, good for you.
Yeah.
The rest of us, we gotta do a little stretching.
Yeah, if you go like over the wrist and into like your pant pocket.
You got like it's an old school pocket watch, you know, from like the Western, goes across your vest, you know.
Oh god.
I throw it in my vest pocket.
So let's move on to some actual magic discussions. We had a SCG. Well, was it an open? Was it a top eight?
It's like, it's like the road to the player's choice, you know, whatever.
We had an SCG.
Road to player's champion's choice.
Yeah, we had an SCG tournament this past weekend. So it looks like it's the StarCityGames.com standard. That's not what it's called.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Thank you, Dave. Okay.
So we have the list. It's Star City Open. in Washington, D.C., and it happened on January 24th.
Yeah, and today's the 29th.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to give you some frame of reference.
So it was a pretty sweet tournament because it's the first tournament after the new sets. So you get to see the new cards.
You sat down and watched all of it, right?
I have a lot of time off.
You know? right.
And you can only masturbate so much. So I watched a ton of it, and they have it like on replay. If you go to twitch.tv and you go to the SCG Live, you look up SCG Live, you can look up this weekend, and it has all like 33 hours of the SCG Open.
Just like on a constant loop.
Yeah. Right? Well, you have to click play, and then you can actually search through it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so it's even better than that, because then you
can get like... The perks of being unemployed, right?
Yeah, perks of being unemployed. I know all these things now.
So we got to see all the awesome new brews. I mean, fuck. Let's go straight to number one.
It was sick, man.
What took it down?
Soul Tie Control with Gerard Fabiano, which I've seen him before. He's been playing for like ever.
He's a writer on SCG.
Super.
As well.
Oh, is he?
Yes, okay. He is. Yeah, he actually wrote that he was going to play that deck a couple days before playing the tournament itself.
So
just a cool guy too.
He is. He's super. He also doesn't do the crazy flipping with his cards and all this crazy nonsense. He just sits back, takes his turns sort of, you know, slower and just at a regular pace, and I just enjoy watching him play the game.
He's not socially awkward at all. Like, he did the interview afterwards,
yeah,
and he's
super
like,
cool.
He's, you know, funny, comedic about it, you know, fluid, not like all super nervous. And
yeah.
So shout out to Fabiano.
Yeah. G-Fabs.
So, yeah, exactly. So this deck, it's a control deck. It's a control, like, Planeswalker deck. It has two Ashioks, one Garrick, Apex Predator, two Kiora, and two Ugin. And then the rest of it is Seder Wayfinder, four of those, which is the only creature in the deck. And that thing is just, like, pumping. It's just, like, finding lands in the early game so he can get to Planeswalkers and then throwing shit in his graveyard so he can trigger off all his other shit. So all his Dig Through Times and, you know, all that nonsense. So
yeah, instance and sorcery-wise, he's running four Digs. Four Bile Blights, which...
Yeah, that's kind of...
I was really...
Calling that meta right there.
But he knows the meta. Yeah, he's calling exactly. It out.
He's got his... You know, finger on the pulse of the meta. Three Heroes Downfalls, two Thoughtseize, two Soul Tie Charm. Glad to see that's getting play. Two Murderous Cut, two Disdainful Strokes, two Crux of Fate, two Rakshasa's Secret.
Yeah.
What?
Dude, this card sells for 2 cents on TCG. So target opponent discards two cards, put the top two cards of your library into your graveyard. So it helps out with the delve strategy. Murderous Cut and Dig Through Time and some of his sideboard.
At one point, I watched him play back-to-back Dig Through Times. This guy's all about throwing shit in his graveyard.
Fuck, yeah, dude. Yeah, he uses the graveyard like crazy, which is awesome. He just abuses it, and it's like it works out great for him.
And he even has a singleton of Interpret the Signs. Mm-hmm. I actually had to look this up because I had no idea what it did.
You didn't know what it was? Okay.
I didn't know. So it's 5 and a blue for a sorcery. It says, scry 3, then reveal the top card of your library. Draw cards equal to that card's converted mana cost. So, what? I mean, he does have, like, a lot of high converted mana Dugan, cost cards.
Treasure Cruise.
Garrick.
Yeah, Dig Through Time would be, like, the shit right there.
Every
right?
time I saw him play it, he drew plenty of cards off of it.
Exactly.
When I watched it, it was game two of a match. So I watched him with his sideboard cards, so which I thought was super relevant.
I'm going to start off with one thing about the sideboard. This is for Reich. This is for Reich. He has two Feed the Clans.
Feed
the Clans.
Instant.
Now we can't even make fun of you anymore.
Instant. For one and a green, you gain 5 life for 2 mana. Ferocious, you gain 10 life instead if you control a creature with power 4 or greater. So he had this in his hand. He never played it, but he had it in his hand. And everyone in the announcers are like, Feed the Clan, what the hell? Feed the Clan?
They're like desperately like typing away. What the fuck is this card?
So you didn't call it against the aggro decks and just the burn.
It's sideboard tech.
It's so funny that you have
that. That was some sideboard tech.
Sideboard 101, baby.
But he had one Thoughtseize in the sideboard, one Soul Tie Charm, one Pelucranos, and this is the big one. Two Tassigar the Golden Fang.
That thing fucked Beasley. Bitches up.
That did work.
It did crazy work.
That is the surprise big going off of the weekend tournament here. It's
he went up from
jacked
like,
up in price.
He went from like $3 to like now he's at $7.50. But really, I don't think you get him. I think you'd be more like $9 to get him right now.
So let's go through the rest of the board and then we'll come back to Tassigar. He has one Sulamagar the Drifting Death.
That 3/7 hexproof when it attacks -1/-1 to all creatures, all other creatures.
The Dargon. Two Negates, Two Feed the Clans, Two Farika's Cures, Two Rakshasa Death Dealer, and One Drown in Sorrow. So when I started tuning in and watching, he was just going off with Tasker. So I'm not exactly sure what turn he got it out, but it's possible with Seder Wayfinder to get it out on turn three. So you have a 4-5 on turn three, possibly. And then so you delve away all the cards in your graveyard that you don't want to return back to your hand.
I called it, by the way.
Yes, you did. I agree with that.
Go on.
So you delve away the lands. You delve away...
Well, you don't need to delve away the lands. You can, but you can leave them because that triggered effect is not...
Oh, right.
For its non-land
correct,
cards.
Correct. So you delve away if you don't need any more wayfinders, if you don't need any... You know, you just...
Delve away Thoughtseize, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So on your next turn, you can pay his activated ability, which is two hybrid.
Yeah, two hybrid, green and blue.
And can you read it? I'm not sure exactly what it says.
Yeah, two hybrid. Put the top two cards of your library into your graveyard. Then return a non-land card of an opponent's choice from the graveyard to your hand. So it's a way to it's value. You get draw an extra card, and you draw a card. And you can manipulate it to be a card of your choice, whatever's in your graveyard. And you manipulate it through delve cards, including himself.
So pretty much I saw – I'm not exactly sure what it was, but it was like, do I return his murderous cut or his disdainful stroke? It's like, well, fuck, both of those are fucking horrible to give back to him, you know? So it was just ultimate, like, control – value with that card, like you just keep getting back shit.
Yeah, same thing. He would hold this ability up to get to his opponent's end step so that he would already done. He has like a disdainful stroke in hand, so he's waiting for so and so to play a Siege Rhino, and then they didn't, and he's like, oh cool, now I can activate this ability.
Yep,
just on the back burner, you know.
Yeah, this deck is pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was just cool to see like a completely different take on Sultai, you know what I mean?
Because
there wasn't really any...
Sultai hasn't been a big thing overall.
Besides
the meta.
Besides the Sidisi whip, like Sultai hasn't really done much.
Agreed.
So...
And Sidisi whip, they've been doing like a lot of four-color Sidisi whips.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like Sultai at that point.
Yeah, it doesn't really. It feels like an Abzan
deck that just throws Sidisi
Abzan whip with, Sidisi or something like that.
Pretty much.
So let's go ahead and take a look at the deck that came in second, which is Boros Burn.
We bring it up. Well, it's red white tokens, but
yeah.
We bring it up because once again, this is like a new deck. Even though it was around like last year, now it's brought back thanks to Soulfire Grandmaster,
Monastery Mentor.
So now this thing is like back to being a totally viable deck. It also has. So the deck, I mean, I can go through it. It just has, like, Goblin Rabble Master, Monastery Mentor, Seeker of the Way, one Soulfire Grandmaster, Hurtling Outburst, Lightning Strike, Mammajet.
No, playing one Soulfire.
Stoke the Flames.
Yeah, one. I'm not going through, like, what they have. Yeah. Stoke the Flames, Raise the Alarm. The new cards that it has is Valorous Stance, which is the choose one, instant for two, one and a white. And it's destroy target creature with toughness four or greater, or... target creature gets indestructible twin of turn. So it's like this really good value.
Such versatility.
Yeah, it protects, Monastery or Soulfire or Goblin, Rabble Master, or it kills the big shit. So it's just like instead of, Lightning Strike only has so much reach. And now, past Lightning Strike, you can use Valor's Stance to kill everything above it, above that three toughness. So that's a perfect fit for this deck. It has...
Collateral damage.
You're playing tokens though.
Yeah, I totally see it.
You're gonna with that Rabble Master, more than half the time, that first Goblin Tunnel that comes out is just gonna eat in for no fucking reason. The point where people like say, okay, we have Rabble Master here. They don't even put it on the tables and know it's instantly. Yeah,
they wanna use it for Stoke the Flames, and then now they can use it for collateral damage.
Another three damage, Lightning Strike. If I get rid of that token, it's gonna die anyways.
The last
weird one is Outpost Siege.
Yeah, Outpost Siege.
Told you guys it's a decent card.
You did.
Whenever a creature you control leaves the battlefield, deals one damage to target creature or player.
That's dragons. The cons is a Chandra zeroing effect.
Exactly.
Yeah, exile the top card of your library until end of turn. You may play that card.
It is really good because if the board state is meh and whatever, and like you don't know who's winning yet or whatever, then you go ahead and play cons and you just get card advantage out of it. If you feel that you have a lot of shit on the board, but you just can't get in, then you go ahead and play dragons, and whenever one of your tokens dies, it does one damage to creature or player. So what happened in one of his games is he was up against the 2-2 with Death Touch, right? The what's that
Heir of the Wilds.
Heir of the Wilds. So if that was to block one of his 1-1 tokens, well, he would do an additional damage to it. Just like Festering Newt. You know, you can't block a 1-1 with a 2-2 anymore because that extra point of damage will just kill it anyways. You know, so it made it where it made
it's
it
not really, target it's target creature or player.
Or player, yeah.
Oh well, okay.
For one damage. So it made it really awkward for blocking. That. This guy felt that Heir of the Wilds would be the shit against tokens or against really anything if Ravel Master wanted to swing in. Whatever wanted to swing in. But now it's like, oh, I can't even block a 1-1 anymore. Like what's the point of me playing this card if I can't block a 1-1? So that happened, and he had to make some tough decisions, and it just didn't work out in his favor. You know, it was pretty funny. So that did do some work. I can see why that is such a powerful thing. And, you know, a red deck drawing more cards is always a good thing because red, that's the whole point, is like they don't let you draw cards because your shit's so fast.
Yeah, and so they run out of your nothing in hand, and to give you that chance of like, oh, I need to find my 4 more points of burn, here's my Stoke the Flames at the top.
It is 4 mana, though. And so it's definitely a later game card. It's not like it's like a win more card. It's not going to like – this is like your goal to get to. It's going to be like, okay, you drop this thing. Sweet. This is going to help me a lot. But like you should win without it.
It's good for like a stalemate situation because –
yeah, totally. Totally good for that.
Because you can get that extra damage through that you wouldn't normally be able to get through. And also you can or you can choose cons, which is, you know, start getting that card advantage that red doesn't get too often.
But I feel like that's the issue with red aggro stuff and burn is they run out of fires so quick. They're like, okay, it's in my hand, your face.
Nope.
Well, now you got nothing in hand. You're just top decking, hoping to find more burn. Well, now all that's doing is by turn 4, when you've already blasted their face a couple times, going, okay, now I get an extra chance to continue to blast their
face.
True that.
So you don't – I don't want to say you don't necessarily want to see it in your opening hand. You just want to see it maybe like after a few turns. Like opening hand, you probably want to like empty your hand. You probably want to like get everything out there and do what you can. But
I think 2 is like the max you would put
in. Yeah,
definitely. You know, I'm not trying to say 4 of for sure. Oh, yeah. I mean that's not something you want to have a bunch of, you know.
Right.
But.
So this guy did really well, though. I mean, like, he just swarmed the board.
I really
like this deck. Monastery Mentor just, like, took fucking over. If there was a board sweeper, and you know, or not a board sweeper, but if someone's going to kill Monastery Mentor, well, fuck it. He's just going to go ahead and pump up all his shit. He's going to go ahead and throw and Stoke the Flames and all this stuff. And he's still left with, like, 2 Prowess tokens, and it just helped him out a ton, you know. If you can't just Rabble Master it up and just, you know, swarm the board with be unanswered, even if it is answered, you save your instance for when it's going to get killed and you still make other tokens and they have to deal with that shit too.
Mm-hmm.
And those tokens are not 1-1s. They're 1-1s for now, but they grow.
Yeah. That Prowess is a pain in the ass.
Exactly. I saw a deck with like Monastery Mentor and Jeskai Ascendancy. That's a fucking disaster right there. That was like where he had like one guy had a Siege Rhino out and he had 18 health, and this guy had a Monastery Mentor out and was able to win with just Monastery Mentor. It hit for 18. He had actually 2 Jeskai Ascendancies out. So like every time he did something, it would trigger, all those things would go up. 2 from the Ascendancies and then another 1 from the Prowess trigger. He did like 3 spells, swung for like fucking 21 or something like that. You know, it was just this disaster. So it was pretty cool, man. That these cards are really good, I think. Well, only a few of them from Fate Reforged are really good, but they are really good.
They do talk about, though, that in previous like mid sets, like they'll go into that tournament the next weekend and there'll be like 0 changes. It'll be the exact same decks playing.
Yeah, Gatecrash probably did a little bit of that. We already know Board of the Gods did a lot of that.
And this very first weekend, like this is just the first weekend before other brewings, the cons set of continued malleability of the constant changes to the meta.
You are continue. Right. It did totally change the meta.
Like so many different style cards. I watched a game where Warden of the First Tree actually just took off. The dude didn't have the answer for it right away.
That's Andrew Boswell.
I love that guy.
Mm-hmm. I like that guy. Andrew Boswell is a good player.
Just within, he plays decks like I play. Within 4 turns, that guy got pumped to full max ability and just raped. And that was it. And so that's another card just from Fate. That's just like, everybody's like, oh, this isn't really that good. Well, it can be. If they don't have the answer for it right then, it can be
those
that
motherfuckers.
Good.
So going down to the next deck is Abzan Aggro.
No, it's actually Blue White Heroics, the next one.
I have it as
that's on third place on mine.
Okay, so.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Let's go Azorius Heroic then.
Yeah, and that one, I mean, what do we got? Like, we don't want to talk about it. Whatever's, what's new? Nothing is new.
Nothing. Absolutely not a damn.
Did any third Dolores Stanton there?
No.
Really?
No.
So you know what? So fuck it. We'll skip past that one because really.
You know what Blue White
Heroic?
You know
that's what we're playing right here. Okay.
It's it's actually pretty weird that it actually placed.
Yeah.
That
high. No shit, huh?
With no changes, basically.
There's so much more to the added to Blue and White that I'm surprised they didn't like throw a touch of anything in there. I mean, to throw another feat of resistance, essentially, but then gives you a chance for removal. Like, why would you not play Valorous Stance? That card is great.
It is really, really
good. I do like that for white cards.
Oh, my God. If you have a white deck in any version, how do you not have that as a possible card? Right. I mean, that's so good.
So this next deck is Abzan Aggro.
You know what? I don't even want to look at that one, though.
Nope.
Go ahead.
Well, all I'm going to say is there's no new tech in it except it has two main board Tassigers. That's it.
This is why we get onto Andrew Boswell's version of Abzan Aggro.
Yes, I would like
this
to see
one,
that one.
I thought this one would really get it going. It got like seventh place, right? Which fine, whatever. But I thought it would even go higher. Like I just loved the build of this. It had four Warden of the First Trees, that one drop mythic that can grow and grow and grow.
That's a one drop and has so many chances to do so much more for you. I mean, that's a hell of a one drop.
This guy's playing my list, but like this is totally what I would play. He's playing four of those. He's playing four Soldier of the Pantheons. Fucking,
that's what I'm
talking about. Pretty ballsy. He's playing four Siege Rhinos. Four Rakshasa Death Dealers. Four Fleecemane Lion, two Boonsader.
Which is a great pump card.
I think it's the killer thing, you know?
Love that card.
And then,
besides being a 4-2 with the bestow? Is there anything else to it?
No. Okay, that's what I thought.
So you can cast with Flash.
Oh, and Flash.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the important thing. You're right. That is Flash. Why it actually is playable, because of Flash. It also has all those three Anafenza. It has four Abzan Charm, three Bile Blight, and four Valorous Stance. This guy is like all business. He's just like, I am going to swing in every turn, and I'm playing the most powerful cards for that mana cost.
Here's my dick and your face.
It is.
Do what you can do.
Absolutely that. So in his sideboard, he has pretty standard stuff. You know, he has like Hunt the Hunter, like if he's playing a green deck, you know, whatever. Drowning Sorrow, Glare of Heresy, Nissa, Murderous Cut, Thoughtseize, Utter End. Like it's pretty standard fare. He's just getting like what decks are out there and sideboarding appropriately. It's not surprising me. But I really liked watching his game with Warden of the First Tree, what you're talking about before, where he got it up to be an 8-8 with Lifelink and Trample, right? And so he ends up swinging in with it. And his opponent is like near zero, and so he has to block for sure. Like he's Andrew Boswell is like on the winning end. So he swings in, and the guy does an appropriate block for 8 damage, right? Well, you can trigger that ability again.
Which the dude did not realize.
The dude did not realize. So he had 6 mana open. He attacks with him, and he sees the block, and he goes like, oh, you didn't, I guess you didn't know. And then
he just taps his mana. Hey, motherfucker!
Makes him a 13-13 trampler. And then he says, 13-13. He taps it and puts it on there, and the guy's like, what? And he pulls the card away right away, you know?
He's like, son of a bitch!
Yeah, and then he loses, and he's just like, you see him like putting his deck together and just shaking his head like, cannot fucking believe that just happened, you know?
Can't believe I just lost a Warden of the First Tree, motherfucker!
Yeah. You win, fuck!
It was really fun. That's awesome. Seeing him hold cards in his hand and just be like, fuck it, I'm just going to build it up until he's answered, until you have an answer for him.
And then the guy never answered.
And the guy couldn't answer.
It was great.
And so he just won that the 13-13 lifelink trampler.
If you don't have the removal for it,
yeah,
it can win you that game.
It was so cool seeing that thing.
The lifelink trample? Fuck you. Are you kidding me?
You want to see Christmas Land. And we saw Christmas Land.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Other than that,
was a fun match to see.
Yeah, he ended up losing to something else. I don't remember what. But, you know, I just love his style of play, and I love those decks that he makes. Four Valor Stance. Just like, once again, he's just all in.
That's a legit card.
Everyone's
dude.
Playing two, and he's playing four because he didn't get a shit.
I know Feat of Resistance is great because it pumps your guy up an extra, mm-hmm. and you can kill him off without them realizing or this and that, but Valor Stance is just that much better because it's removal to it, too.
Yep.
That card, I don't know, like that blue-white that does not change at all. Like how do you not play Valor Stance over Feat of Resistance? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the extra pump and counter, you know, sure, great, but that Valor chance of
better,
killing them off, like, that's way
better.
Yeah,
that's value.
That's way better.
So, like, one of the other things I saw is that he had a Soldier of the Pantheon out, and his opponent had an Ashiok. And so the opponent – or, sorry, he had whatever out, and then his opponent milled him 3 and got a Soldier of the Pantheon. And the thing is, this deck is playing nothing but multicolored creatures – He ended up like Andrew was like, all right, I gotta make a decision. He ended up wasting like two removal spells or something, like, you know, he had to do like all kinds of crazy shit and waste his turn just to kill Ashiok, because if he was to minus one on Ashiok and get Soldier back,
he'd just be fucked.
He'd be fucked because he's a blocker for anything. It's blocker for all multicolor.
Yeah, right?
So he's like, well, I'm gonna get stonewalled by this 1/1.
My own
2/1. So like, I can't have it happen. So I remember the announcers were like, what's he gonna do? Like, does he see that this thing's gonna stonewall him? This little one mana creature is gonna fuck him his day up.
Asshole.
Yeah, so yeah, Soldier is like not the best, but it is the ultimate blocker for this meta.
That's so crazy. Four is real.
It's pretty funny. Anyways, moving on.
So I know I'm kind of skipping around, but down in eighth place is Soul Tide Control. Is that eighth?
Eighth, yeah.
So
eighth, yeah. Yep.
Anyway, yeah. So I mean, nothing too crazy, you know. You got your Caryatids, your Coursers, Hornet Queens, Pearl Lakes, Tasigur, of course. Tasigur, any deck that's playing black, pretty much in the top eight.
By the way, I know where you're going with this, and I'm thinking the same thing you are.
So Thoughtseize, Hero's Downfall, Dig Through Time, Crux of Fate, Treasure Cruise, Soul Tide Charm. Yeah, all pretty much.
Crux of Fate.
You know, no big deal. Ugin, of course, a Garrick. Frontier Siege? Which one is
that's
that?
That's
the... Oh, that is beastly.
It's okay, that's into Ugin.
That's okay, like a next card that's jumping up like a motherfucker like Tasigur is.
But he has a one of worst fears. What?
I don't understand. I can't even have a... I don't even have like an opinion about this. I just don't understand what the fuck he's thinking.
So it's not even a delve card. Seven and a black. Jeez. You control target player during that player's next turn. Exile worst fears.
I don't know.
Why wouldn't I don't even know. Why wouldn't you just like fucking do the extra turn one?
I didn't see him play it. He had it in his hand at one time, but I didn't see him play it. I have no idea what the fuck he was thinking. He's a good guy too. I know. I've seen him too. He's where he does very well and gets a lot of top eights and all this shit. He's been around for a long time and he always makes very creative decks. But
just one of those, like, oh, I really want to play this so bad. I gotta try it.
Well, still got top eight.
Yeah, I'm not saying the deck itself,
but that card. He must have just gone like, man, Chris's land. I gotta feel it. I want it to happen. Please let it happen.
I mean, well done to him for actually getting to top eight with it. But
I wish that we knew what the hell he used it for,
or if he actually got to cast it.
If he got to cast it, and if he did, like, what did he do with his turn? Because 8 mana to waste your entire turn when you could have cast an Ugin.
And what are you going to do with if you lose all your mana? I mean, you're attacking them one time, and then your next turn you just go about it again. Like, to use 8 mana, that's your whole fucking turn, mana-wise, spell-wise.
If you have 8 mana, and you have Worst Fears, and you have Ugin, I guess, what do you do? What do you do? Do you do the Ugin? Do you do the Worst Fears? I don't know. It's so complicated. It's 8 mana. What do you want to do? Yeah, I have no idea why he plays this shit.
Guess you Ugin and then Worst Fears?
No, because Ugin, you'll just minus to kill all the shit anyway, so then you get his turn next time. What the fuck do you do? You have no permanence.
You tap all the shit and then fucking pass the turn back.
Another question. Can you just tap his creatures?
No.
Without attacking?
No.
So then...
I don't even know.
I don't even understand what the hell's going on.
It's crazy.
I mean, yeah, you just tap his mana and let the mana go out, but, like, he just wasted your whole turn to waste his whole turn, and then you're back to your turn. What the fuck goes on here? How are you winning this game?
Maybe he has removal in his hand that you used on his own creature.
That'd be hilarious.
That would be fine. Because
it's all about, you know, here's Deathfall's target.
That would be fine, but, like, I'd rather just cast my own heroes.
I agree. I'd rather cast my own Ugin than deal with killing off his own creature. I'm not going to kill it with Ugin anyways.
Who the fuck knows? I have no idea what's going on with this guy, but either way, I could tell you one thing, though, is that Ugin was also a superstar of this tournament.
Oh, yeah.
He was just wrecking bitches, dude. It was when that thing came out and the board was not so stable on his opponent's side, well, Ugin would just win.
Yep.
We have Wright quoted as Ugin never played, right?
Yeah.
Throwing it out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mr. Planeswalker hater himself.
Yeah, I didn't think this card was that good. I still don't. I think it's still hyped right now. So
it
we'll
is.
See.
I think so, too.
I think it will go down from the $25 to $30 that it is.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But, like, I have a Waste Not deck going, and it's... You can talk to Hot Sauce. It's been doing pretty well against his fucking Abzan best of
shit. I think it'll still go down a little
bit. It's a good finisher for that deck.
Yeah, so I'm putting... I had the one. I just drew a second one. This recent second box I opened up, and I'm putting two Ugins in my Waste Not
deck. I think it is nice having Frontier Siege along with Ugin, because that just, like, helps you much. You know what I mean? And then you're playing Hornet Queen and Prolic Ancient. Like, it's just... That Frontier Siege is pretty sweet.
to be turn five, and the next turn you can just guarantee, even if you're carried to dies or whatever, that you're going to be able to play this shit. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that card is pretty beastly.
Yeah, I saw him do it.
Two greens to it, like every phase, not like, oh, on upkeep, so you have to do it better than phase. You got to play your hand as normal as you fucking want to. We're going to play your creatures in second main phase, all that shit. Doesn't matter, because every phase you get two fucking mana.
Exactly. So, okay, speaking of Frontier Siege, if there's no other decks, I want to talk about the ultimate deck of the weekend.
I actually just wanted to bring up one more thing.
Go ahead.
Jeskai Aggro. He plays pretty much standard list, two Shaman of the Great Hunt. When I first saw this card, I was like, looks good, whatever.
This card is fucking...
But especially on the MTGO beta, I played against it. Shaman of the Great Hunt, it's a 4/2 for 3 and a red, has haste. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, put a 1/1 counter on it. And it has ferocious, two green-blue hybrids. Draw a card for each creature you control with power 4 or greater. That last part,
I barely care about the ability itself, but that universal effect, dude, I'm telling you, is so fucking good.
I went up against a deck on the beta, and it was a token deck with this. And he just had, like 6 1/1s out. And then just
swarmed.
Yeah. With this guy, boom, they all went 2/2s. And it was like, well, I'm
go ahead
and
kill two of them off. Now I have 4 2/2s.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm pretty
whatever.
Much done next turn. So this card impressed me. It was kind of under my radar or over my head or under the chicken's coop or whatever. But yeah, it's impressed me so far. So take it away.
No, it was.
Take it away, Sauce.
So we have another combo deck in standard.
Oh,
Teemer Ascendancy combo.
I didn't actually get to see this played. So
I saw
excited to hear you talk about
it. So also on SCG, on their, I believe it's the SCG Live channel on Twitch, they do have the interview with the guy that made this, whatever. Or not the guy that made it. He like saw it on another website. I think he saw it on like MTG whatever website.com. Shit that he already saw the deck list. But he got it and modified it to his liking and then played it. And he got like 14th or something like that with it, and it just ended up where he just didn't get there. It's a combo deck, so you got to get to the combo, get to a combo. So this deck, I'll run through the cards and then I'll explain the combo. So it runs 3 Teemer Ascendancy. First of all, that guy is the main thing for this whole deck,
and that's whenever a creature 4 or greater comes in the field, you can draw a card.
Right? And also creatures you control have haste.
Okay, that's right.
So that's the main thing, because you're trying to ramp, and you have a lot of mana creatures to untap Nykthos or just generate mana on their own, and they come out with haste, so you're able to generate mana that turn to bring out big shit. So anyways, we have 3 of those, 4 Voyaging Satyrs, 2 Sylvan Caryatids.
Which one's a Voyaging Satyr?
A Voyaging Satyr is a 1/2 for 2 for 2 mana, untap target land.
Okay.
So exactly. So it's like Elvish Mystic.
Okay.
But instead of producing a green mana, you could untap a target land, which would be Nykthos. So it's better in that way, even though it costs 2 mana. And it comes out with haste, so you're able to play Nykthos to bring him out, untap Nykthos again with haste, So, anyways, we have 2 Sylvan Caryatids, and then other mana wrapper, we have 4 Elvish Mystics. And the funny one is where's it at? I'm looking. Something's wrong here. Why do I not have the thing that he used? Oh man, we're all fucked up.
Sabertooth?
No.
Edit.
Yeah, pretty much.
God damn it.
You're on a roll.
Okay, something's wrong with this list. I'm not even joking. This list is wrong.
What did he have?
He had
that blue enchantment.
Okay. I don't know where this list is wrong. I'm actually kind of screwed up right now. But he has, I think, 3 of, or something like that, of the... It's a 1/4 for 4 mana. Tap, add green mana equal to your devotion to green. You remember that guy?
Okay.
He's like a 1/4, 4 mana. Tap this guy, whatever your devotion to green is, add that much mana. So he would play... He would get his mana rampers out there. He would play this guy on turn 4 or whatever with Teemer Ascendancy out. He could tap it right away for 4 mana or whatever else, and then use another guy to, untap Nykthos, generate more mana, and then he would get to like 8 mana. He would throw out Genesis Hydra, bring out another creature. Both those creatures get haste. Then he can use Teemer Sabertooth, which is another one of those cards in this deck. Mm-hmm. That ability, it's a 4-mana, 4/3. Pay 1 and a green, you may turn another creature you control to its owner's hand. If you do, this guy gets indestructible. Indestructible doesn't matter. All it is that you get to tap your mana generating creature back to your hand, and with the mana you just you bring out the mana creature, you tap it, you generate 5 mana or whatever. You pay 2 of that to bring that creature in your hand. Now you pay the other 2 of the 3 you have left to bring it back out of the battlefield. Okay, it has haste. Tap it again. Okay, now you draw 5 more mana. Use 2 of those to bring it back.
One extra mana each time.
Infinite mana.
You generate 5 and use 4 to bring it out again. You generate 5, use 4 to bring it out again. So you're always gaining 1.
An extra
and you just keep doing that forever. And then you're able to Genesis Hydra for like your entire deck if you want to. You're able to, whatever you want to. You can bring out Eidolon of Blossoms. You can bring out, if you bring out Genesis Hydra and he's big, you draw a card. So like, you get a free creature, you get to draw a card, you still have like mana left over probably because you get to bounce something back. So anyways, what it does is just use all these mana guys to just bounce everything back to your hand that's mana, play it again, generate more mana, bring out whatever, and everything gains haste. So basically, if he gets the combo set up, which is Temur Ascendancy and 7 mana, is what the ideal number
magic number,
he's able to just go ahead and play his deck infinite, bring out basically every creature in his damn deck if he wants to.
Swarm the fucking
He finally gets to Nylea, God of the Hunt, which gives everything trample, and then he swings in. Because you got to make sure you get in. So he brings out his Genesis Hydra, his other thing.
And he also has some Lucranos. He could monster score a million.
You have the Nylea just because of the way he bounces it and the way he's able to continue to draw cards by then coming out. He can then continue to play creatures. So say they've got 3 creatures on the board. You keep bouncing them in and out till you get 6 creatures that are then at that point, as big as they need to be, and they still get past it. And the 3 get chumped, and you still hit for the amount.
That's true.
Yeah, got it.
Obviously, the trample would be great.
Use the trample, but then you also use his ability. So his ability, if you have infinite mana, his ability is pay, I think, 4 green mana, like 2 and 2 green or whatever, or 3 and 1 green, and you get to give target creature +2/+2. If you keep generating, 30 mana, then you get to get 1 creature with trample become a 30-30, even like an Elfish Mystic or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everything has haste, you go right in. So once the combo goes off and you start generating infinite mana, you're able to bring out the creatures you need and use Nylea, God of the Hunt, to give them trample and pump them as much as you want.
Yeah,
that's
interesting. Very scary to go.
Yeah, that's right up Reich's alley right there.
It's just like the other Ascendancy deck where he has 1 creature out and you're afraid. You're 18 life, he has 1 creature, you're like, okay,
oh,
but
shit.
He's going to have 5 creatures next turn, and they're all going to have haste, and they're all going to be bigger than mine. You just don't know. So
that's pretty impressive.
The Temur Sabertooth, cool. Paying 2 and able to bring back to tap for mana with another creature, bring that mana creature back to your hand, play it again, tap it again, bring it to your hand, tap it again. Temur Sabertooth's important. Temur Ascendancy is important because it gives it haste and able to, when it comes back that turn, you can tap it again. And then
draw another card.
Yeah, and then Nylea, God of the Hunt, is important because it gives it the reach to get past the creatures, no matter what size they are or whatever. And then Genesis Hydra for value. And that's the deck. So it was fan-freaking-tastic to see him go from 1 creature to 4. And watching, he was playing against, there's a really, really popular Magic player from SCG. I don't know, he kind of looks like us. Handsome as shit.
Brad Nelson.
Yeah.
Brad Nelson.
So he's playing Brad Nelson. Brad Nelson.
Every man.
He has like 1 creature out, and he's just sitting there like, I guess I got to kill Temur Ascendancy. He's like, I don't know what's going on, but I got to kill something. Like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. And then he ended up winning. He ended up getting his ass kicked game 1 because of the combo going off, and he's like, well, fuck me then, I guess, So it was really, really fun to watch.
So another card that was not in the list, because for some reason that list isn't correct.
Yeah, it's totally incorrect.
He also had Singing Bellstrike. What the fuck is that, might ask?
That's in my waist, not dead.
1 and a blue enchant creature. When Singing Bellstrike enters the battlefield, tap enchanted creature. Enchanted creature doesn't untap during its controller's untap step. Enchanted creature has pay 6 mana, untap this creature. Why would you want to fucking play that? Well, he played it on his own creature. Why would the fuck would you want to play that on your own creature? Because you pay 6 colorless and you can untap that creature. So
if you have 7 mana on the board, you go infinite that way.
Put that on your Voyaging Satyr, which untaps your Nykthos, which blah, blah, blah. Go in just another way to fucking get the combo
Nykthos
off.
Nykthos generates 9 mana.
Which was fucking crazy.
Nykthos generates 9 mana. Okay, cool. You stick to that to untap Voyaging Satyr, which untaps Nykthos. Okay, use the remaining 2 of the 3. Do Nykthos again, you drain another 9 mana. And then you just keep going off, and then once again you go infinite mana, and you play as many creatures as that mana will give you, and then you go in with haste.
Yeah,
I have mine on my deck just for against aggro guys, because that's my weakness in my Wasteland deck is aggro. So
I like that.
I have that in there for that effect of like, okay, well, you got that guy on the board, well, fuck you. He's going to hold off, so I make you discard some more.
Wright should like it because it's just teamer.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm already building it right now.
Smart maneuvers and big creatures, that's Reich written all over.
Already putting it together.
That was very interesting.
Straight up, though, you should play it.
I have everything it needs.
You should totally do it, man. Get it going and just see how much you can beat FaZe.
Wow.
It was just
sick.
It's really refreshing after last standard season where it was just so structured where there was 3 top decks and then there was like a couple 1.5 decks and a couple tier 2 decks where like decks are just coming out of nowhere that nobody sees coming. And it's just week after week.
Brad Nelson had no idea what was happening to him. It was so funny.
And that guy brews like a motherfucker. That guy's a badass. That guy's cool.
So, yeah. He's
some good shit.
This was an awesome indicator of what we have to come in this format as of right now. So I thought it was super interesting.
Great.
I'm actually gonna go back and look at the SCG YouTube channel and like rewatch some of the matches because it was that interesting.
It was. So I think that pretty much wraps up the SCG. But really, anyone out there, get off this damn podcast when we're done and fucking go check it out because this is the time to watch. In a month, it'll probably be a little bit stale and we can't talk about it anymore. So
I don't think it's going to get stale. If you watch how Cons has been the entire time at Cons, nothing got stale. It was a new fucking deck every week just about. Something new, some new finagled version of it, some new touch here, touch there. It's been a constant meta change nonstop. Like, I know I'm just getting into Magic overall, but knowing some past history of, like, the last blocks of how stale shit got and it's 3 fucking decks and that's all it is, there's a new fucking winning deck every fucking week.
Yeah, true.
Where Abzan was this beast of a thing, now it's Abzan aggro. Now it's Jeskai combo, Jeskai tokens, Mardu control, whatever.
Mardu tokens.
It's
all kinds
constantly
of
changing. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty
it's
sweet.
It's fucking awesome. I don't think it's going to be stale in a month because, you know, adding these new cards and people talk about how, like, the previous sets, middle sets just aren't as good, and they know changes happen, and blah, blah, blah. There's some good fucking cards in this middle set. And so I think it's going to continue to have a meta change nonstop.
You know, I only saw, like, one Butcher of the Horde this whole time. I think one deck was playing Butcher.
Yeah, dude.
It's pretty funny. Like oh, I met no Mentor of, Monastery Mentor, or whatever the fuck it's called. Was like better, you know what I mean? Yeah. Monastery Mentor.
Yeah, the card's fallen off a little bit.
So yeah, it wasn't that expensive to begin with, but it is funny because that thing reads so awesome.
Yeah, it's still.
And then nobody's like playing it because they just have this shit now, which I still think that card is like bonkers when it gets going. But still, it was pretty funny. So what do we got now? What's going on? Shifting it up.
So
time to discuss our lovely lady.
So speaking of,
I already had a sweet segue, but I let it pass. You know,
let's just
say it anyway.
Go for it.
A sweet nod of the head, and I said, "See you next time, segue."
you finally had a good segue, huh? I know you don't say it.
I don't believe you.
You know what? Full of it. I enjoyed it in my head. Okay,
but let's just pretend it didn't like get fucked up and say it.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is now.
No, yeah, but you're full of shit then.
So I am, I would say, the resident lore guy on the podcast. I like to read the e-novels and all the stories about Magic and everything.
Which I'm gonna fight you for that title of the resident lore guy. After reading this story, I'm like, you know what? Like, I like the background stuff a little bit, but I never was like, oh, I have to read the stories and this and that. Reading Alicia's story, to me, I thought it was very well written. And it was very interesting to me. I thought it was great. So
just to let you know, before I think it was before Cons came out, or I forget when they did it. But they had the actual paperback novels, they had ebooks, they had comics, and then they had these articles that would come out on the Magic website called Uncharted Realms. Was the section that it came out on. And then just other various little parts is where they would let the story leak out or where they would publish the story. And it was almost like you couldn't fucking get a cohesive grasp on like the linear story because they would put out too different many places, parts. Yeah, it came out in too many different sources, so it was just really hard to follow. So now they've done away with everything, and everything that is lore related is going to come out on Uncharted Realms on the Mothership, is what they call it, the Wizards website. So I was looking, just looking for something to fucking talk about on the cast, and I came across this story about Alicia, the girl who smiles at death. So I read this nice little story, and about halfway through or something, there was quite the revelation. Alicia was really born a boy.
So knowing my previous episodes of Loving Trannies,
you're really
I am so fucking excited about her. Oh my god! I want to play with her before. Now I want to diddle her a little.
Play with her more in real life.
Make it happen.
I get a blow up doll or something.
So I'm not like the most
Alicia.
I'm not the most PC person in the world, nor do I really. I'm an expert in the field of transgenderology. But it only really says that she was born a boy, and spoiler alert, she was born a boy, and that when so in the Mardu clan, when you like kill a dragon or do something very glorious in battle, you know, a killing strike,
warrior movement,
you get to name
great feat.
Yeah, you get to name yourself basically, like, you know, Knife City, the Sniffer of Butts, or, you know, you get to add
kind of,
that.
They kind of like, they kind of, you know, preambled that with like War Name Aspirant, like. She doesn't have a name. Now she's like, oh, yeah, raid, attack, fuck you up.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
trying to earn my name. They kind of threw that, you know, even in the cards itself, that in there.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, your name, comma, whatever, you know, the axe
dealer
cleaver.
Of death.
Exactly. So when it was her turn to give herself a name.
She sewed on a penis.
She chose Alicia.
No, she had a penis.
Oh, okay, go on.
Well, she already had
that. After her grandmother.
Oh, go on.
She chose Alicia, which was her grandmother's name. And so the clan is kind of like, what the hell? But also, like, she's badass and just fucks shit up, so.
Because since she originally gave herself the name, she was just a peon that made her mark, his mark, made her mark.
Yeah, she was.
And
she,
now she's actually a Khan, a leader of the Mardu.
Yeah, well, she's a Khan, and her name was Alicia. And then when this other member of the clan was supposed to give himself a name, he kind of negated to do that, and he said, oh, well, you know, your name should be Alicia who smiles at death or whatever. And so she, you know, she liked it and stuck with it. But I just thought it was, like, really open-minded and progressive of Wizards to have a character in their story that's transgender. Because I don't – I believe there's – because I know, like, a transvestite is, you know, a guy who dresses up like a girl who still likes girls, just likes to dress up like them. So there's, like, different variations, which I don't know the minutia of. But so the transgender is the umbrella term to use for that. And it doesn't really say her sexual preference. It's just that she wanted to change her name. And so – and it refers to her as a she the whole time. Mm. So I'm thinking that she thinks of herself as a she.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I like the maneuver because personally I don't have any issues whatsoever with someone's personal sexuality. I mean, it's for people who are more offended by it, it's like it's the same kind of thing of if you're not religious, do you want somebody jamming religion down your fucking throat? If you're not gay, do you want someone jamming down gayness down your throat? It's just kind of like don't fuck with somebody else's lifestyle. Who gives a shit? It doesn't really affect you, so fuck off. And so this progressive, you know, mindset, I think it's a nice thing overall. Like, it's kind of like fuck the people who are saying fuck the gays or fuck this and that. It's like, you know what? Fuck off. People are people. Yeah. They make their own choices. They feel how they feel. How does it really affect you? It doesn't. So don't have a heartache about it.
Yeah, if you don't like it, don't play Mardu. You know?
If you really have an issue.
That'd be a pretty weird thing. I don't like gays, so I can't play Mardu.
Yeah, I guess I gotta play Sultai.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me more about that penis.
One of my favorite bands is Against Me. They're a great punk band, a lot of fun, and the lead singer was Tom Gabel, and now like lyrically wise, they're fucking fantastic. All kinds of great. Throughout the years, they've had a couple songs where you're kind of like, well, that sounds a little off. But nobody's ever said anything. I realized. Well, Tom Gabel is actually in the middle of a sex change, and several ways through it, and is now Laura Jane Grace.
Huh.
Still produces great music. Lyrically, is one of the best writers you can find out there. It is she creates such great music. It's like, who gives a fuck? So the people who love the band or have not jumped ship, they realized, who cares? I mean, Tom Gabel is now Lauren Jane Grace. He's married and has a daughter. His wife is the chief, she does all the artwork for Alkaline Trio.
Hmm.
They are staying together. She is going, okay, this is my husband. I support him. You know, he's still into me. He just happens to like dressing like a female.
Yeah, I fell in love with this person. Doesn't matter what form this person takes. I still love this person.
So, I mean, that's that band. Obviously, people have jumped ship. There's always people who are homophobic or this or that. But you know what? They still create great music.
One of the best shows I went to, not necessarily like the best show because I was never really like into the band, but it was the best stage performance I've ever seen for a punk band was MDC, Millions of mm-hmm. Dead Cops. So the lead singer is gay, is all holy hell. And, you know, their songs and their lyrics are kind of
They're about killing cops.
Funny and political and kind of poking fun at shit and real, I don't know, campy is the word maybe.
Yeah, okay.
But I never really got into them. But man, they put on such a great fucking show. I went to go see the Casualties and Agent Orange, and they like stole the show from all of them. So
that's,
I was like, really.
It's kind of like Slaughter and the Dogs. My buddy, I've young learned to listen to Slaughter and the Dogs. Oh my God, it's such a great fucking band. But my buddy went to a show of theirs, didn't know at the time the lead singer was gay. And in the middle of the show, the lead singer reaches over, grabs the guitarist by the neck, and just starts like kissing him and shit. He's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what's happening? You know? But who gives a fuck, dude? They put great music out there. Fuck your fucking mindset of this minuscule world you live in. Fuck off. That doesn't really affect you. Get over yourself, you fucking prick, and get past it. Because they create great music. Alicia is a great card. So yeah. If you won't play her because you're homophobic, fuck you.
She's like the best tiny leader ever.
I know.
But what was I going to say?
I can say either way a little bit about the tiny leader thing if we want to also.
Yeah.
Because she does have some pretty good support cards if you're interested in using her as your tiny leader, mini mander, commander, whatever. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Mini-mander. So. Mini mander.
Yeah.
So,
so I thought it was pretty cool. I look forward to more lore stories.
Pushes the boundaries
from cons.
Pisses off the old people.
Yes,
they're putting a lot of them out on the Uncharted Realm. So, I'm looking forward to reading them. I need to like catch up on some.
I like the Theros lore. That was probably my favorite so far.
The hero stuff?
But yeah.
I don't know what it was.
The heroes and the gods and the demigod and all that good shit.
So if we want to go in ranks of, like, who's, like, the best at lore, you guys want to fight for the top seed, that's fine because I'll just be last. And I got to be last at something in this cast, so yeah. I'll be last at this.
Well, I haven't read, like, all the books or all the e-novels or whatever. But my favorite one was the original Ravnica book series, which, like, first coming in at Gatecrash and learning all the guilds and the flavor of them all, and then reading the books really gave it, like, some backstory. And it was almost kind of like I knew what the guild consisted of because I played with the cards, and so I could relate and read it a little bit easier. I don't know. It was a really good, there's three books in it, so I might have to reread them sometime pretty soon.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Tiny Mander.
Mini Mander.
Mini Mander. I just want to touch on it real quick. Just because Alicia, who smiles at death, as we have talked about, she is a first strike She's a legendary creature, human warrior. Whenever Alicia, who smiles at death, attacks, you may pay hybrid white or black. White or black, so two hybrid. If you do, return target creature with power two or less from the graveyard to the battlefield, tapped and attacking. So in Minimander, everything is converted mana cost three or less. You're going to have a shit ton of two or one drops in your graveyard, I would imagine, after like you know the game goes on. You need to bring those all those creatures back in. It's like a perfect fit for Minimander.
But the problem is, though, same thing with Commander, though. You can only have cards in your deck that... color of your commander.
No, but it's a red creature, but it also has white and black on the card, which means you get to use red, white, and black.
Oh, okay. It's so more the, okay, that, yeah. That, okay, that helps my mindset, because I'm thinking, like, it's just red in the mana cost, so
yeah,
you no. can't fucking play that, so it didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, whatever activated ability or any of that nonsense, whatever okay. colors they okay. are. So okay. In this deck, it has that, and that's sweet, because it's a 3-mana card, it's a 3/2 first strike on its own, so it might be able to protect itself really well and be a good blocker, and whenever it attacks, and if you're able to attack, you get to bring in something for free. You know, it's really, really good value. So this person, I'm looking at Bad Wolf 314. They're on tapped.net. Yeah, exactly. Great name. The only reason I looked it up because it's the highest upvoted deck that has this as their commander. So I wanted to see what they had in. So Minimander, as we said last time, you know, it's like 50 cards and it's a singleton, so you only have one of each card. And some of the standout cards, I would say, are, you know, like, you can play, like, Goblin Guide. It's a haste 2/2 from an older
modern format, right? Great fucking, great red card.
So you get to play, it has haste, and it comes out as a 2/2, and that's freaking fantastic. And then it has a downside of whenever it attacks, defending player reveals the top card of his or her library. If it's a land card, that player puts it in his hand. That sucks, but it's a haste 2/2 for one. You have to have a downside, because it's just not allowed in Magic.
Yeah, haste. Two damage and
you
get one drop.
You get that. You get Bloodsoaked Champion. One drop. Comes back, you know, from her triggered ability. You get Figure of Destiny. Figure of Destiny is just like that that new Warden of the First Tree card, where it comes out as a one drop, but then you're able to make it a 2/2, then you make it a 4/4, then you make it an 8/8 with flying and first strike. You know, you can – this game is – you're still going to have more than 3 mana. And so you have to have cards that allow you to pump the extra mana in a later game.
Right.
They don't allow you to just pump in for 6 mana on one creature, but you're able to use a lot of abilities or cards that have X in their mana cost to really do some damage late game. So it has, you know, like I said, those two, like Fire Drinker Satyr, 2/1 for one.
Great card.
Frenzy Goblin is a 1/1 for one, but when it attacks, pay one, and then target creature can't block this turn.
Also another good one.
Gnarled Scarhide, which is a 2/1 for one, one black. It can't block, but it's 2/1 for one, so that's fantastic, and then it can bestow. Goblin Rabble Master, perfect fit. It's red, it's aggressive, it's a 3-mana creature. We already know all about that. We got a 1-mana 1/1, which is Mardu Shadow Spear. Whenever this thing attacks, it deals one, or each opponent loses one life. It's 1-mana 1/1 that gets to get that extra reach, and that's
bonus,
sweet.
Yeah.
Monastery Swift Spear, because there are 8 instant spells of the 50, so you're able to pump it up, and then there's 6 sorceries also. So that's a good fit because it's fast, it's little, and it gets to grow bigger from other spells. Play Painseer. It has the the Bob ability. It has it. Well, you know, like
it has inspired.
Yeah, it has inspired. Whenever it becomes untapped, you get to draw a card and then lose life equal to its mana cost. Not so bad because you have 25 life instead of 20, so that might be good. We have Sin Collector, which is one white and a black, and when it enters battlefield, target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose an instant sorcery card from it and exile it. That's sweet because it comes out. It's a 3-drop. It's a 2/1. That's sweet. You could use it once. It goes to your graveyard. Alicia triggers it again. And a battlefield effect happens again. So this one card allows it a 2/1 body that can trigger twice. And actually trigger more than twice because when it dies, it's not exiled. So fuck it. This is like an ultimate value card.
I have a quick question as you're going on that list about Minimander itself.
Right.
Because I've wondered... What is the, you know, that 50 cards, what is the usual typical mana amount?
This deck, because it's so fast, has 18. People recommend 17 to 20.
Really?
Yeah. So if it's really fast, use 17 or 18. If it's a little bit bigger, mostly 3 mana costs or a lot of things with X, throw in 20. So 20 of the 50.
Okay.
Or 20 of the 49, I guess you'd want to say
okay.
it.
So build mine. That's
just, if you build, really yeah. If you're kind of going fast, you're like, screwed. I'll just put like 17 or 18 lands in there. And then one, you can throw in as many of the basic lands as you want, but just like Commander, you have to throw in only one of a non-basic land in there. So we pretty much ran through most of them, the one drops. There's Tormented Hero, once again, a 2-1 for 1. Like, everything's a fucking 2-1 for 1. And then we have Warname, Aspirant, yeah. It has Raid. When it enters the battlefield, put a 1-1 counter on it if a creature attacked this turn. This thing cannot be blocked with the creature's power 1 or less. That is really relevant because there's going to be many, many creatures with power 1 or less because it's Minimander. Mm-hmm. You're not have to worry about 6/6s in this kind of format, so that's going to be pretty relevant. We have Spear of Heliod. We have Godsend, which if you don't know what Godsend is, then look it up. It's fucking awesome. We have
card's badass.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I can get why I didn't really see constructed play, but it's pretty fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of surprised
it's just too slow.
Yeah,
but it is as powerful as a Magic card can be.
Card though, man.
Really good, but it's just too slow. So I play it in a mono white deck that I have, but I only play one. We have Mardu Ascendancy. Whenever a non-token creature you control attacks, put a 1/1 goblin creature token onto the battlefield tapped and attacking, and then sacrifice the Ascendancy. Creatures you control get +0/+3. So it's just more value. You can't get a lot of value out of 3-mana creatures or less, or 3-mana spells or less. So this is something that when you attack, you get to put a 1/1 out, and that's value. You know, you can't ask for much more for the 3-mana. So the lands are all pretty standard. You know, you're gonna play like one of each dual land. You like all the pain lands and all the shock lands and
Scry lands,
Nobot Outpost, you know, the Tri-Land. You play all that stuff you can. No special effects here in this deck. There are probably some you can look into that may interact to pump up your guys or something like that, to pump in extra mana that you're like, you know, you're gonna have more mana than you're gonna be able to cast out of your hand after a while. So then we get to get onto the fun, really fun instance that you want to play, like Boros Charm.
Oh, the greatest.
Yeah, Boros Charm's the shit. Boros Charm, as you may remember, deals 4 damage to target player. Permanent you control gain indestructible till end of turn, or target creature gains double strike till end of turn. All of those for 1 red and 1 white. You know, it's like, you have to have this card. Crackling Doom fits right in. Crackling Doom is exactly the colors that it is. It's the best removal in the format right now. You get to play one of those. We have Deflecting Palm for any big creatures that are coming on the other side of the board. They're probably going to be nothing but 2 and 3 power creatures, but if something does grow, Deflecting Palm. And then you have just like basic removal, like Mardu Charm, Lightning Bolt, Swords to Plowshares, Path to Exile, and then you have Smother. Smother is for 2 mana, 1 and a black, destroy target creature with converted mana cost 3 or less. It cannot be regenerated. Once again, Smother is the perfect card. Everything is 3 or less. It is that simple. For 2 mana, you get to remove any creature, and there's no way this isn't going to hit. So how is Smother? If you're playing black and you're playing Minimander, Smother is the card you put in.
I wonder if Ride Down would be worthy of playing it.
Ride Down would probably be worthy. Well, yeah.
Ride Down, another removal slash hit you in the face.
Exactly. So sorcery, we have Despise, Thoughtseize, Duress, Inquisition of
Kozilek.
So that's another one of those same cards. The thing is, it's perfect for this also because it's a Thoughtseize with no downside, and it removes a non-land card 3 mana or less. So it's Thoughtseize for Minimander. Nice. You know, it's the perfect card for this also. They have Mizzium Mortars, which is a 2-mana card, but it has an overload effect. So once again, when you get late in the game...
One of my favorite sorceries.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a big one.
You get late in the game...
I wasn't even in that block. I know about that
card. Yeah, that card was ridiculous. Especially for Reich, that shit was like amazing. So overload for 3 and 3 red, so 6 total, and it deals 4 damage to each creature you don't control. That's you ridiculous. Know, like, so when you get late game, once again, boom, pump it in 6, and you get to wipe out their board. Because 4 damage is going to kill every fucking thing in Minimander, because it's low power and toughness creatures the whole way around. So besides that, we have Rakdos Return, a card I used to play in my Minotaur deck. Remember that?
God
yeah.
Damn it.
So this is, it's 1, it's X, black and red. So because X counts as 0 for Minimander, you can play this card. This thing reads... Rakdos' Return deals X damage to target opponent. That player discards X cards. So this is like that ultimate, I want to draw this on turn 6, and you look at it and you go, oh my god, I get to wipe out their hand to hit him for six right now, you know, and then you just put it down and you fuck him up. It's awesome, you know, it's great, great card for
Go back to that block.
Yeah. I went through the whole deck. It's just a bunch of 2/1s plus like Rabble Master and Alicia, the commander itself, and a whole bunch of burn, pump, and disruption to their hand. And it's everything fits really, really well. Everything is real cheap. There's not even a lot of 3-drops. You know, you're just trying to win right away. And because your opponent's creatures cannot get that much bigger than what you have, because you don't have to worry about turn 6 per se, because all they can do is drop 2 creatures. They can't drop a big ass 6/6 with reach and trample and whatever else, you know. They can only drop little stuff. Hopefully your shit will be able to swarm the board much, much faster. So I think a good addition to this, though, would probably be Hordling Outburst. They don't have it here, but I think Hordling Outburst is a good fit.
That card's just good.
Yeah, 3/1/1s is already good in standard. Why wouldn't it be good when you just want more creatures, you know? So
it needs green. Need some green in there.
Yeah, right. I'm sure there are some really other good commanders, but or mini-manders, but this is I think this is a solid deck. I would change out a few cards, but I think there's a lot of standouts in this deck. So I'd just probably research a little harder and go dig a little deeper, because this can go back much farther than this deck does. This deck that I'm looking at is kind of like the last 3 years, and I bet you can dig another like 5 more and find some really, really powerful shit. More like instants and sorceries, I'm thinking, and lands.
Once Minimander or Tiny Leaders is like an actual legit format, I heard they were like going to like trademark it or copyright or something.
Yeah, I heard they're still trying to do that. That's going to go downhill real quick.
So I think Alicia is going to be banned. Because that is just too good.
Yeah, it is. I mean, every time she attacks. And she will attack a lot, because even if she dies, you just bring her back.
And it doesn't matter if you fucking trade off your other shit, because you're like, that's fine, I'll just bring her back next turn.
Yep. And you're going to have 5 mana at that point.
Yep.
In the other commander formats, the commander format, they have, as your commander, usually like 5-drops, 6-drops, 7-drops, or whatever. And that's harder, because then you go from 5 to 7 to 9 to 11, you have to go up really high, but this is simple. This is 3 to 5 to 7. Well, when it dies, you're probably going to have 5 mana, and when it dies again, you're probably going to have 7 mana. You don't have to wait, you know, you just go for it. Turn 3, just bring her out and see what happens, you know? Let your piddly shit trade with your opponent's creatures, and then just bring it back with her.
Well,
you're not afraid of those first few turns, because you can just bring it back. So I think it's, like you said, really, really strong. I will not be playing her. Knife will be playing her.
Actually, I won't.
What would you find?
I'm playing Timurit.
Yes.
And there's a couple other ones that look a little spicy that I might. But Timurit was the first one to come to mind, and so I'm going to give him a shot.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of older cards that are just 3 colors, no colorless mana,
mm-hmm.
and they do some crazy stuff. I was looking into it last podcast. So.
Right.
But Timurit for now.
All right. Sounds good. This is good. I mean, like red and black and white. Those are like pretty low mana cost card. Like the cards
situations.
Are normally. Yeah, so like green and blue are not necessarily focused on low mana cost.
Yeah.
You know, I know for like counter spells and stuff for blue. And then creature wise, there's not a whole lot down there in the low part. So like Abzan sounds great, because Abzan is very strong on those 3 colors, but really it's not that big a deal, because there's not so much out there that green and black and chicken handle, you know, green and blue, but either way, I think that green is not so strong in this mini-mander set. It might be in some cases, but I don't see it. I think red and black are like on it, you know, or red and white at least. Red and white probably are my favorite 2 colors for mini-mander. I'm doing Jeskai. I'm doing the, what is it? I mean, like, it's the one, the idea I had. What are you on right now? Oh, you're on fucking cons.
I'm on Mythic Spoiler.
You're on cons, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it's the one from this new set. No. It's the one from the new set. It's from Fate Reforged. It's the – I think it's a 3-2 also. And it has – or maybe it's a 2-3. And it has Prowess. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, pay hybrid, white-red. Target creature gets double strike till end of turn.
Shen Yun, whatever the fuck
is that? What that one is? Yeah.
Shen Yun, blah blah. It's the Jeskai legendary human.
Yeah. Shu Yun, whatever. Stop moving it. The silent. The silent teapot. I don't know what the hell it says.
The Silent Tempest.
Silent Tempest.
Jesus, are you blind?
It says teapot. Yeah,
teapot sounds better anyway.
It always says teapot.
The steaming teapot. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Shoot you on the steaming teapot. So we'll play that, and I won't get the value that knife will, or whoever else plays it. They're going to get the value of extra creatures. I'm going to hope to get my creature and double it up on strength and just have to have less creatures and just overpower and hope you don't block kind of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll have those certain kind of spells, enchantments, whatever, to tap down your creatures and allow the damage to get in. That's pretty much the strategy I'll have to go with, rather than just having 8 creatures on the board that are all 2/1s, 1/1s, and whatever else. So
nice.
That's our example of the Mini-Mander right there.
You guys got anything else you want to talk about?
All I got to say is we are going to have to draft that conspiracy that Mr. Knife bought for the group.
It's just waiting.
Yeah, I know we got to.
Now that Fate has come out and, you know, that weekend and couple weekends has happened, like, yeah, so exciting, new cards, all the jazz. I think we need to do it soon because it's going to be fucking fun.
Okay,
Reich, what are you thinking about decks? What do you think about for deck building? What are you doing?
For standard?
What are you brewing? For anything, what's going through your mind right now?
You just gotta make that Team Ascendancy.
Yeah, combo. I was liking that Team Ascendancy, I still want to get something where I can play my Knuckle Blades. I still want something that I can probably play one or two of those Ataka.
Knuckle Blades good because the Devastator render. You get to pump in that mana
that you're making. Ataka. Yeah.
The mana you're generating, because the pump ability is 2 and a green, yeah. I think, right? So if you get the Team Ascendancy, you're able to get that infinite mana and pump it into him. Even if you don't have Nylea, God of the Hunt.
Yeah.
And just go right in there.
Yeah.
So that might be a good
that
fit.
That definitely sounds good. But, I'm still working on a mid-range deck.
Because the World Runner gets double-striked for all dragon attacks. That's one, right?
Are you thinking about playing that, too?
Like a one-up for a mommy. Yeah.
Right.
But, I want to get something that I can play my knuckle back. I want to be able to get a few counter spells. I'm really on the wall of teamer. I really just want to get a red-green deck going with Zenigod, the Xenagos God.
Right.
And that dragon. It's going to be like huge rampy, but...
The Stubborn Denial is a real thing, though.
There's a lot of ramp now, though. There's that Frontier Siege.
Yeah, Frontier Siege.
You can help out. Have like two of those in there, maybe, or one of even.
Yeah.
Have that.
There's some nice cards out there. But nothing out of this new set. Not too much. Just maybe one or two. Two cards that I might own. Maybe I'll try the Whisperwood Elemental.
See, that card is pretty good.
No?
The Phoenix, I don't know if I'd have a spot in my deck for him.
Okay.
That does sound decent.
It does work with... your 4 power and greater. You know, the ferocious trigger will happen.
Ferocious triggers go.
But maybe it's not just enough. Maybe you want something bigger.
Yeah it's so. hard to get rid of Pelucranus.
What about you? What do you got going on, Crow?
Right now, I mean, I personally, however awkward it may sound, I am loving the shit out of my Waste Not deck. And I am continuing to tweak it and make it better. And it may not sound like a feckin' you think about, oh, fantastic whateverness, but based on the fact that I'm playing against some tier 1 style decks that like Hot Sauce is throwing out their nabs and best of, that's
yeah,
a deck that's been so solid. And literally, we've only play tested a few games with it, but for the most part, I have utterly raped the Abzan deck on that point.
That's what it seems like.
So, like, for me, I'm pretty excited about it. I'm kind of deconstructing my Mardu deck so I can build that Purphoros one we built on the cast here. Mm-hmm. See how that, you know, how fun that can be or whatnot. But right now, like, I just drew another Ugin. I'm going to finagle some things with my Ashiok and that Waste Not deck and the Ugins and get myself to that late game and just run your face over with all you have no cards in hand.
Right, exactly.
Just fuck your day up. And it's been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to take it to a Friday Night Magic and see what it can do, because
exactly.
I think it is getting good enough to play against tier 1
decks. It'll surprise
people,
too.
Exactly. It's doing work. It may not sound like something, because it's, the Waste Not, everybody's trying to fucking make that work. Well, I'm making it work right now. I'm pretty proud of it at the moment, so I'm pretty excited about that, and... currently, it continues to enwrap and envelop my mind because I can't brew something else at the moment because I'm continuing to tweak that into my personal perfection.
Taking over, yeah.
It's very enjoyable to me.
So what about Knife? What do you got?
I'm really digging on that Sultai Walkers list I talked about last podcast. I think that's going to be – usually I have like one main standard deck that I play with you guys, and then I have other little brews here and there. So I think the Sultai Walkers is going to be my main list.
And it's going to be pretty similar to Fabiano's. Pretty similar, not
well,
totally.
Well, when I watched him play it, it was what he was playing was very similar. And then when I went to go look at the actual list, kind of it's just a really different take on the same right. theme, mm-hmm. really. He's trying to accomplish the same thing, but just going about it a different way. But so I threw two Taskers in the sideboard because I do like that. But other than that, the list is pretty much staying the same as I described on last podcast. I've also been doing the Waste Not Brews ever since rotation.
I was gonna say I'm pretty excited that you're happy. You're excited about the Sultai Walkers, though. We didn't have like a personal, like continued Waste Not. Like I know you've been around longer than I have, but fuck you. I want a Waste Not deck. I really, really have had a lot of fun with it.
Waste Not got went up in price.
Yeah, it did.
It's a thing, dude. It really is with that dark deal. It really puts it over the edge. Like I was
dark
already
deal came out.
I was already excited. I liked my build. It was centered around Waste Not and with. In a Black Devotion situation with Gary, Gray Merchant of Asphalt, you know, draining you while I game kind of thing and just controlling it and that stuff. My current tweak I'm going to build on it is actually taking all my Garys out of there and putting in some lower-ended removal and sweepers because I've noticed that my biggest weakness is aggro. So yeah. Now I'm going to go ahead and take out the Garys, throw in the Ugin. I've got a Sulimgar, the Drifting Death in there. And I'm going to, you know, kill off that beginning front end and have my answers to the low end while
more
I'm also
like
making...
More like Bioblight or like the
I have Bioblight, yeah.
Or something like that, yeah.
I definitely have Crux of Fate. Bioblight is in there. I may throw one Dragon Sour, but I may just go with a couple Bioblights and not worry about that necessarily because my whole point is I want your hand gone, you not having a chance to do anything. So hopefully you're only getting one creature out there anyways.
Yeah, so Bioblight will hit it.
You know, and then if you get like a Whirling Outburst, well, then I've got Sulimgar... couple turns later to just wipe them out anyways, and I'm just trying to stabilize so I can sit there with my Ashiok and just do whatever the fuck I want against you.
Yeah, that's
and it's been pretty fucking beastly, man. It's been very enjoyable for me to play.
So one of my other brews I've been working on the Magic Online beta, which is pretty much the only other one I've been having a lot of fun with. I did mess around with a mill deck. So, I mean, mill's never really been viable. I thought it was pretty good last standard season.
Yeah, once M15 hit and all that shit, then...
Yeah, once it all rotated out.
Well, yeah, once Gate Crash and all that shit rotated, then it's like, well, never mind.
So, the only really good, like, mill strategy would be with Phoenix the God. And so, I brewed a deck called the Big Booty Mill. So, basically, all the defenders... And the new butt fight card, the one where they a creature you control and a creature they control deal damage to each other equal to their toughness.
Yeah.
So butt fight, and then the
butt fight
that
booty
the something invocation where feral. You make a not feral you make a XX. Where X is the greatest toughness.
The green-black one?
Yeah.
Oh.
You make an XX where X is the greatest toughness among creatures you control. So playing a, turn 2, 05, and then a turn 3...
07.
well, a turn 3, 5-5 is not too bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, so...
Or turn 3, Wall of Frost.
I'm actually not playing Wall of Frost just because of the double blue...
07 booty with knocking them out though.
So I'm really on Hornet's Nest nuts right now. Like I'm just in love with that card. It's doing a lot of work. It just stonewalls everything basically.
Everything.
And especially with that butt fight card. So I'll just butt fight your Pelucranos to my Hornet's Nest and I got five fucking 1/1 Death Touchers. So anyways, that deck's fun, but it has
a I will say that I kind of gave you shit about the mill thing. I hadn't heard your list yet, but I had seen somebody else make a build with this in the same kind of general idea. I didn't think of the Hornet's Nest for it, so that's actually pretty sweet with the butt fight Hornet's Nest situation. That makes it a lot more viable from what the deck I watched played because it was just so beyond hit and miss, and if they didn't have the Phoenix God go off. Like, there really was nothing they could fucking do. At least if you've got that going on, that gives you the opportunity to hold them off and stave them off and figure situations out. Where
like before they had like, oh, they just remove the Phoenix from the one I saw, and that was pretty much it. And they could figure out how to get around your walls.
Right, right.
Well, with your fucking death touchers, and that makes it a lot more of a pain in the ass.
And then you bring out
they gotta have a fucking sweeper, otherwise, okay, well, then you can leave two of them back and just chip away with three of them and put more pressure on them for damage-wise, even though that's small damage. You know, yeah. Besides the milling, it gives you another option of possibility
way to while win. Building your mill.
And also, Kintree Invocation is what it's called, where you make the XX.
Okay.
And so, it is still hit and miss, but it's kind of like build your own Jace. So, I have three defenders out and Phoenix, and end of your turn, I just mill you for 15.
Mm-hmm.
End of your turn, mill you for 20. Mm-hmm. You know, so. A lot of people rage quit when I do that, but
fuck this noise.
That deck is real hit and miss. It's just something to fuck around with and have fun. But the deck that I might build in paper might be a little expensive is the deck Sauce and Crow we're talking about is the Boros. Well, not really Boros, but the Jeskai like burn with the Mentor and the Funkmaster.
That's expensive.
And then all the burn. And I have God's Willings in there. And then I have two Chandras. So if I don't get my dudes out, the Lifelinker and the one that makes the tokens, it's really hard to,
come back and stabilize.
Yeah, I have a great start and then I just peter out. So I really need to get those guys out first. And
treasure cruise, right?
Defend them with God's Willing.
Yeah, I have three treasure cruise. But yeah, I almost have to wait a turn to cast them because I have to have a God's Willing up to protect them because as soon as it comes out, they're like, oh, here's Downfall.
That's like my black blue waste knot is depending on what I got going on in my hand, I play Swan Song.
Right.
So I can wait one turn, leave one blue up, and they go, okay, I'm going to Banshee and light that shit or whatever. I go, fuck you.
Yep. So it's like, a little...
Go ahead and have a 2-2 flyer. I don't give a shit. I'm keeping what I want on my board.
You know? Right. It's a little... I don't know. I still need to mess with it, but I had a... I wanted to tell this story before we wrap things up. We have 13 minutes left on the tape.
this thing has a freaking outer edge.
Limit.
We've reached realize.
So I was playing that deck against this... This guy had a pretty – I see a lot of people with awesome brews on the beta, and this guy had a pretty fucking awesome one. It was all revolving around Kruphix, the god, to where you have no maximum hand size, and when your mana pool is supposed to empty out, it just converts it to colorless mana, and you keep it in your pool. And so he had Voyaging Satyr, Nykthos, and all the things to dump it into, so like Pelucranos – the Hydra,
mm-hmm.
Genesis Hydra, Crater's Claws, and just a bunch
mean,
of shit.
Me,
and then the top was Ugin, of course. And so I was hanging on. I was trying to just catch up with the life and tick him down a little bit until he was being real fucking cute. He wanted to go off. Completely, yeah, like okay.
So he's being a dick about Christmas landing himself.
Yeah, he was trying. He was clawing his way to Christmas land. So he gets his Pelucranos up to a 12-12 and attacks in. I deflecting palm to his face. So he's
buttered already.
Yeah. So he's down to 9, and then I know he had. Next turn or something. I know he has a Crater's Claw in his hand. So pretty much.
You just dot season, or you just
I had, he had Kruphix, or not Kruphix, Courser. So I saw that he drew it.
Okay.
And I also saw he had Ugin. And so I knew he could have just killed me right then and there. Granted, I did have mana up that did kind of represent like a negate or something. But he could have just, went for the Crater's Claw. Oh, if that didn't resolve, next turn I do Ugin or whatever. He easily could have killed me. But he opted not to. And this whole time I've been ticking Chandra up. And so I deflecting palm, 12 to the face. He's at 9. Next turn I ultimate Chandra and I pull fucking Stoke the Flames, and as soon as he sees fucking Stoke the Flames, he just rage quits, and then it says, your opponent has disconnected, meaning he just logged off of Magic Online. He was just like, fuck you, I was this close to Christmas Land, and you just fucked it up. I was like, if you don't kill me right now, I am going to hit either a Lightning Strike or a Stoke the Flames, because I only drew like one of them the whole game, and I have four of each in the fucking deck. So you better kill me, oh, you're being cute. Fucking boom.
So I got something for you.
Go ahead.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
So Krufix, whatever, God of Horizons. If unused mana would empty from your mana pool, that mana becomes colorless instead. That's what you just said, right? Mm-hmm. Where your colored mana turns into colorless for next turn or whatever else.
Yeah.
Frontier Siege.
Oh my god.
Oh!
Fuck you. Four mana
every
per turn turns to colorless.
Nice.
One card just generates four forever, every turn.
Nice.
That's stupid.
I didn't think about it until you were talking about him, and I just went, oh my god. I'm like, let me read the card and make sure it's not you have to tap your mana.
Yeah.
Whatever. No, it's just whatever's in your mana pool turns to colors.
Yeah, whatever floating mana
you have. That's stupid.
Then you can drop X. Oh like, my you can god. Drop Crater's Claws. So fast and just dump it like that.
I mean,
ridiculous.
It was a really
That's
good.
That's like the ultimate card for that. Holy shit.
It was a really good deck he had. He had Kyuras in there. Like I said, Ugin at the top and just Voyaging Satyrs and all that fucking shit. And once he got Krufix out there, he was just tapping. He had Polukranos out there, so I couldn't really attack in. And he was just letting turns go by, tapping mana, building up in the pool, tapping mana.
Jeez.
And he just got too cute and fucking. Dude, Sean, I have my all my
rage destroyed his computer.
All my
like, he didn't log off. He just took a fucking baseball bat to his CPU.
All my best like Magic beat stories where I just fuck somebody over is with Chandra's ultimate, which is like you rarely get to it. But so yeah, I have had a lot of fun on the beta. Unfortunately, it's gonna end tomorrow.
Yeah, I think tomorrow.
So unfortunately, I'll have to say goodbye. But it's just great because when you pull off the shit you're trying to pull off, people just rage quit. They don't just you know concede. Okay, let's go to the next game. They concede and then they immediately log off Magic.
For all you know, he threw his laptop.
That's what I'm saying, dude. That's all I picture.
Fuck this shit. Fuck.
So, baseball bat smash.
So had a lot of fun doing that, but we are almost out of time here. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. This has been episode 24 of If Lands Could Kill.
Oh yeah, baby doll.
You can find us on Twitter at If Lands Could Kill with one L. On Facebook at If Lands Could Kill. We have our own Twitch channel now. So I'll probably have already streamed by the time you're listening to this, but I will be streaming some MTGO pre-releases since I didn't get to do an actual paper one. And you can find all of us on Twitter. I'm going to put all our names in the show notes. And
professional.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. And then check out the YouTube channel, too.
Check out YouTube.
Videos to come. We're going to start off with the booster box opening, and then we'll get on to some standard versus videos and so on. So the decks we're talking about, So after we actually quit this cast, we're going to be trading some cards to build our decks. You know, we're going to be going through the booster box and doing some trades. I'm going to try to build my Manifest deck, and we're going to fix, you know, more on the Waste Knot deck and whatever else. Whatever else we've got to do, we're going to trade it up and see what the hell we can do with it. So that's what's happening.
Sweet.
We also have our website, which wasn't mentioned, but iflandsatkill.com.
Yeah.
Check it out. We got all personal profiles and all kinds of jazz on there.
And if you want to talk to us for reals, just go to that, and then there's a contact thing on there. Contact us. Just send us a message telling how much we suck and tell us suck all the dicks and also send people, dick pics to that or whatever.
Yeah.
You're not doing
a few people add me on Twitter and whatnot through this shit.
Yeah,
and just please send questions. Talk. Anybody in San Diego wants to have a play group going, please send me an invite. I'm down to play.
Yeah, you're probably hearing us right now on MTGcast. That's our most popular outlet. So shout out to them for, you know, doing what they're doing with us. So
yeah, if you can, also donate to MTGcast. They're still in the red every month, as in like with server fees and everything. I'm not sure if they have like a Patreon type thing, but they have their own sort of like donation system.
Yeah, over PayPal or whatever else.
Yeah, something like that. So go ahead and hook them up because this is all free. You're listening to this for free. we're putting our content on there for free. They're doing, they're clicking buttons, you know, not getting paid for all those button clicks
and
they're
doing. Half the cast has no job, and we're still not looking for your money.
we don't need your money.
We need the money to go to MTG Cast and places like that, because that's where this is how this gets to you guys. You
know, the cast isn't working. Yeah. They're just a bunch of bums.
Yeah. Hey, maybe you guys should work for MTG Cast.
Yeah, there we go. There's a plan.
Fuck yeah. I wish I knew software.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, that's been it. I'm Knife City.
That's right.
Selwyn Crow.
Hot sauce.
And we'll catch you guys later. Peace.
Come on back.
Here's a trending article on Facebook.
Trending.
Snickers. Super Bowl ad for candy bar features actor Danny Trejo as member of the Brady Bunch.
What?
I love Danny Trejo. Yeah. He's so awesome.
Badass.
He's so funny.
He's got like 85.
Dude, he is so old.
You know, he's done like 700 fucking movies. Yeah.
He's got this Sylvester Stallone thing going on though, where like he never, even though he's like totally out of shape, he's still so in shape. You know?
He's got like that 50s in shape. Yeah. You know, where it's like not toned, but it's like.
But you know, he's got the belt up here, so.
Yeah.
It's just hiding the gut. That's just right underneath.
Just all exactly. Slabby.
And if he hits you, he'll kill you with his fist, but his fist will break and not repair itself. Yeah. Like a young person.
It's funny to watch a movie and have an action scene where you actually see it's him doing it and how slow the movement really is. I hope he doesn't listen to this cast. He'll fucking kill us all.
It's in English. You did not work.
Okay.